the door. Thank you very much. Honourable members, good morning. Good morning to the visitors. National coach, good morning and your entourage. Honourable members, we're starting with the meeting. Welcome from the Tsuka from Ghana. What is that name of the coach? The man who's doing analysis for the HABC?
Kujo.
Yeah, no, I think it's for brought the greetings for Kujo in Ghana, Comrade Tsuka.
Thank you very much. I'm Kujo.
Okay. Comrade Nongonyane, thank you very much for honoring our meeting. I don't know which cap you have today, Comrade Nongonyane. We want you to be clear as members of the Portfolio Committee. If you are a member of the South African Coaches and South African Football Association, must clear that so that we must not mingle you with us, and yet you are with them, so we must know that. So that clarity will bring later.
Okay.
But thank you very much, Honourable Member. We are going to have two presentations. The other presentation which was sent to us by Mr. Ted Dimitro. Mr. Ted Dimitro was trying to show to us that what were the problems, or what are the problems in as far as the African teams are concerned for the teams to be knocked out earlier on the tournament. I would ask the coach to, Mr. Nungonya, I would ask you to introduce Abantu Ambana Wabungo Sengu. And then from there, I will just present what we are going to discuss in the nutshell, so that at least we can start with the meeting. Thank you very much.
Comrade Chair and honorable members, thank you very much. Indeed, I am Nkosi Muelo Nongonyana, and today I'm leading the SAFA delegation in my capacity as SAFA Vice President, mandated by the leadership of the South African Football Association. As we have received this invitation, Chair, we then deemed it proper to honor it, and the delegation, therefore, that I'm with is, of course, the head coach of our senior men's national team, Pito Masmane, who does not need any introduction to you, honorable members. And next to him is Augustine Makalakalane. He is the head coach of the senior women's national team. I'm going to come back to this issue later on. And of course, we do have a technical director, coach himself, Seramedi Tswaba, whom I believe he will then make a presentation on behalf of the technical team overview. But I did indicate, Chair, that these other head coaches will have to make their own input thereafter. So that is the delegation that is here from SAFA. And as you know, Chair, it is really their day today of the head coach. And I will only answer political questions, football political questions on technical issues. They are my experts, and they will be able to do that. I must apologize, Chair, in advance to bring a boys choir. I know we are sensitive to the views of this parliament around that issue. But as it will transpire in the presentation, there are steps that are being taken by the South African Football Association. And this being the Women's Month, for starters, we would have loved that this delegation should be led by a woman. And for the first time since our election on the 26th of August. We do have now a woman who has been directly elected. She's the only one, but she's the chairperson of women's team, Nomsa Mahlangu. And so I therefore want to indicate that they were doing some things, and even the coaches themselves, they'll be able to tell you that they were taking steps to make sure that these women do take their rightful position in leadership position of the South African football as part of our transformation agenda. And congratulations, therefore, to women for this month and the South African Football Association, because we honor our women. And we are here because of them, and there's no man who has not been prepared by a woman. So we owe everything to them this month. That is all I want to say, Chair, at this point.
Thank you, Chief Nongonya. Chief Nongonyana is leading the coach from the South African Football Association, but he forgets Serameli Tswaka. But the other thing, coach, we have invited our own South African coaches in their own standing anywhere else. That's why you see Ted Mitro coming. We invited Jomoson and invited all everybody. And I think we've deliberately not invited any white coach. Invited the black coaches so that we could talk to them and find out what is happening around their career in football. But we will discuss that. The gentleman next to Chief Nongonyana there, no, the on the other side, I've heard him talking about the Pitso Mosimane only, the national coach. Next to the national coach is Serameli Tswaka. I heard that Serameli Tswaka is the director of the coaching, or a technical director.
The technical director.
Okay.
We'll explain that.
You've explained
We will explain that.
Yeah, no. Fine. I'm just helping you, Chief. You see, there are these problems of not explaining very clear. I'm trying to assist you. In Kalakala, the first guy who brought in this style of the dreadlocks in the football was Makalakala. Now this whole thing now is taken up with the country now around the dreadlocks. But you're still looking very well, Chief. I wonder whether you can strike, or your girls are still striking like yourself when you still a good strike. And next to him there, there's no relationship between them. Yeah? Grace, please hold. Can you please behave in order? Next to Chief Nongonyana today, it's Mbuyiselo Compare, and he's a coach. So he's nothing to do with ourselves. There's no conflict of interest in this committee. So just happened to be Fana Merve or West Asian. So we must accept that. Thanks very much for coming. And then as and when others are coming, we will welcome them. But I've just forgotten to say, we're also sending some condolences to the Nigel people who died in a fire last night. And then the scores of elderly people who got injured in that fire. So the president has already, on behalf of the country, sent the condolences and message and say the investigation must be speed up. I think we are joining the president as sports also to say we feel very sorry that there should be such huge number of the life lost in that very unfaithful incident that has occurred there. But Chief Nongonyana, I just want to deal with the issues so that I'm sure you are one person who understands these things. The invitation that we've sent the invitation to the different coaches. You see, when you you're called to the court of law did not invite PSL or South African Football Association, invites Nongonyana in his own standing. Now, I don't want us to wrestle on this little red tape that is beginning to emerge in SAFA. You see, Chief, when you were elected, and then it was nice, there was no problem. But yesterday and over the weekend, I've seen some yellow lights beginning to flicker there from your CEO. I think it's beginning to walk on a little bit of a tightrope. Because if he says the buck ends with him, it's not alpha and omega for parliament for him to be requested to talk to Nongonyan or anybody. So I have thought maybe he will be here. I was going to read section 56 of the constitution that constituted this committee and say to him, Chief Nongonyan, you're an advocate, you understand that. Section 56 of the constitution says, evidence or information before the National Assembly. This committee represents the National Assembly. The National Assembly or any of its committee may summon any person to appear before it to give evidence on oath or affirmation or to produce documents or require any person or institution to report to it or to compel it in terms of the national legislation and the rules of order, any person or institution to comply with the summons or requirements in terms of paragraph A or B and receive petitions and representations or submissions from any other interested person. Ted Dimitro falls in that section, D, for making a representation and order. But what I didn't like is that when I send a message, an invite, you never had a query when I discussed that with you. And your CEO says everything must go through you. Please tell him that he must not try this committee. He will lose this month. Just go and give him a crude message and say he must not try this committee. We will call anybody, Chief, without asking him anything. And then I think it's time to be on coalition with the constitution of this country. And I will help him quickly. Maybe he's an advocate, we know, but he's not above these rules of the National Assembly. So I just want to discuss that and say, we started very well, and then he's beginning to probably be the gatekeeper. He's not going to be the gatekeeper to the coach, to the SAFA leadership, or any other thing. If we want anybody in the administration to give us evidence on human resource, on the agenda of transformation and women, who are working in the South African Football Association, we will send a letter to that human resource section, and that person will come and tell us how many persons with disabilities that works there, how many women work there, how many whites work there, how many Indians who work there. We will not ask the CEO that kind of a privilege, not at all. So just tell him that very clear message, that the buck doesn't end with him, as he eloquently put it in that way. Thank you very much. To start it in that way. You see, you must quickly deal with the issues that begin to go wrong in time so that they must not drift up until this chaos. You clean them quickly because these are honorary members, including you, Chief Nongonyan. So people must not think that since the NNC Mandran run is not Lala, they're not playing. But we are going to discuss it. We have called the coaches. One of the things that we want to seize with as a committee is that we have not interacted with the coaches in this country across. But firstly, we wanted to interact with our own indigenous coaches and find out what is the problem around a piece of the strikers in this country. Why do we have a very scarce resources called strikers in this country that cannot strike and then give us gold? We want also to check, because time and again, Chief Nongonyan would say, we are having problems around the recall of players outside the FIFA calendar, only within the FIFA calendar, even within the FIFA calendar. Chief Nongonyan will tell you that, hey, it's such a painful thing. But our observation as the portfolio committee is that the national team has got only 2 days to assemble and 2 days for the national team to play. There is no question of checking the level of training of the boys. There's no time to say other technical matters that you want to deal with the players. So what could be the problem? You share with us that information. And we also want to share, you share with us the question of the foreign players. The impact that the foreign players has to the national team. Because we're having a piece of legislation that has just been passed that deals with the regulation of national coaches or coaches, administrators, and players. To what extent has that piece impacted on your work as a national team coach or as coaches in this country? Because if PSL says we'll have 3 players per team in the Premier Soccer League, it means it's 3 multiplied by 16. You can't have 100 and something players, foreign players in the PSL because there are 3. And even if you take 2, it's 2 multiplied by 16 is 32. 32 players is too big. It's too much. What happened in the long run? You see? Now, the other thing is that we want to share with you, in the presence of Nongonya, what is your problem? What is the problem with our own national, our own black coaches? We have one coach in 16 teams in the professional soccer league. One. Is a question of qualification. You don't have enough qualification, probably. And then as a technical director, our players, coaches not have a proper skill, and then what is the problem? But the very bad pattern that everybody sees in this country, when a team is at the relegation zone, our coaches in this country will be called to go and coach a team and save it. As soon as you save Sundowns from relegation, then they go outside to go and pick up a Russian coach and bring him here. And that pattern is prevalent in the country. When the team is just about to be relegated, or it is really at the relegation zone, watch the space. They will go and bring any other coach in the country to go and assist there. As soon as that team has been saved from there, then that coach is out. Even if the team is going for a promotion from a first division to the PSS, as soon as that coach, with all what he has, and promote that team to the first division, to the PSL. As soon as he's there, you'll hear that team goes and get another coach elsewhere, and that one is dropped. What are the basis for that? So that we share with you. And the question of development of coaches and question of development of players. The development that is existing in this country, what is your relationship as coaching with school development, and what are those people that are doing school development properly equipped to be able to be serving all levels of football in this country, or is there any other probably disjuncture? In the national team, are the standards the same, Peter? The standard in the PSL and the standard in the under 17, standard in the under 20, standard in the under 23, are they the same? Or the rhythm changes and everything changes because you have different coaches who don't have one same level direction or something that guides and say, this is how we're going to have our own players. Because, Saran, Spain, playing our own South African style. Spain is playing South African football style. You know what Spain does? Spain has taken the back line, put it more disciplined, but in writing with the ball and doing whatever they do, the Spain has done that. Now, the trend in the international football has taken the trend of South African or African football. That they put more discipline at the back, but they're doing what we're doing. So it is no more that question of long balls and all the straight, dull game. They've now made a ball to be very good, but they're beating us with our own style. Now, what is this that we have? That this style of a football that is beginning to catch up with the whole world. It's our own African, South African style. But other people are perfecting it in a way. What is this that we don't have, Makalakala, that would make us to perfect this and have a better team? So there are a number of things that we discuss. And then the other thing is that although Peter has just been appointed, but Peter has been an assistant coach. After the World Cup, is there an indication properly that you as coaches have a seminar that is called by the South African Football Association or elsewhere to say, here is the World Cup, all coaches in the country, let us come and discuss the terms out of this World Cup and check the patterns, check everything, technical stuff. Because you can't have a World Cup in your home and you're quiet about it, you are not converging as coaches and say, what are the lessons that we have learned out of the World Cup that we can enrich this country so that when we go to Brazil, and then we are a better country. If that does not happen, say, no, we have not discussed about that and all that. And then if it's not happened, and then we must say, no, Justin, it's not happened. But any other normal thinking person, with us as a portfolio committee, says that the World Cup is over now. What is our key strategic job? Is to make sure that we are able to make the oversight on the stadiums, that they must be sustainable and all that. So any other person who's a leader must say, coaches in this country now have mixed with other international coaches, and then let us check and sit down and have this discussion and check the trends and then discuss that. Women football, the one that you're leading, Makalakala. You've seen what Germany is doing there. Are your girls up to that standard? Because one thing that I can tell you from the observation distance is that you will not succeed with the women's national team. It has no sponsor, it is not equipped, it is meeting when somebody has dreamed very nice over the night and all that. But genuinely deliberate efforts for that team to be able to be a competent team to meet other teams that are going to play. I've seen Korea playing there yesterday. And the girl who scored the goal there, marvelous girl, and the number 19 of Germany. They played very good. And you can see there is a structured, deliberate effort of making sure that that national team succeed. And then I hope you will tell us something about this. Because, you see, there is a law in this country that women must be equipped, women must be given their own dispensation. And if football does not recognize that, it doesn't recognize our own laws in this country, and then and therefore women will just be the fodder of going to fill the stadium and they have no role to play anywhere else. And I don't think that is what we as government perceive as women. We see them as equal role players coming to do any other thing that they want to do on equal basis. This other one I'll discuss with you, the PSL when they come. The CEO. It's not you for you coaches. It's for Chief Nongonyani and the PSL. All 18 teams do not have black CEOs. They don't have. If they have, it's two only. And the pattern of football, I'm saying this with honesty with you, football is going out of South African hands. The ownership of football in this country is going away. South Africans are going to be just like in the mines in Welkom. Somebody owns the mines. South Africans must go deep into the ground and dig the gold, and somebody take that gold and go away with it. Because the proliferation of the ownership of the South African teams by other nationals is scary. One day we will not have the 18 teams that are owned by South Africans will not have a game called football owned by South Africans. And we will talk with SAFA about that. We must resist that kind of a pattern. It's a dangerous pattern that is emerging. But you can see, check the ownership of those teams. Where are they from? Who are they? Then you'll find that, no, it's true. There's a pattern that is beginning to change on the ownership of it. And the ownership of the teams is affecting you as coaches. Because if the ownership of the team is owned by somebody staying elsewhere in Amsterdam, he will bring a coach in Amsterdam. It means some of you who will not have a space in that coach will never have a space in that coach. So those are the things that we just want to discuss and see how do you fit to the national agenda of our own South African national coach. And those are the things that we wanted to discuss with you today. The other thing is Chief Nonkonyana is going to discuss this with us. He's going to tell us. Members are interested in whether coaches are employed or coaches are not employed in this country, whether by SAFA or by the PSF, because the manner in which coaches are remunerated, the manner in which coaches are handled, they're handled differently from anybody who's employed anywhere else. What could be the problem? So I think I stop at that, and then you can give us your presentation, but I'm sure some of the things that I've raised, you note them so that you factor them in and have a good discussion. Anybody who's leading that discussion can lead the discussion, and then we'll give over to members and ask questions of clarity when you are through. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity that has been afforded to us as South African Football Association and also to the members of Parliament. I will not be doing this presentation alone. From time to time, my colleagues will be chipping in to try and bring some explanations within so that we have a better understanding of the whole thing. First of all, the thing that we needed to discuss is football in South Africa, the decline of football in South Africa. In 1996, we were the first in Africa where we beat Tunisia in the African Cup of Nations. This is the story of football in Africa when we played in the different African Cup of Nations. You will see that it happens periodically after every 2 years. And in 1998, we were second. We lost to Egypt. And very quickly in 2000, we were third. We lost to Nigeria. In 2002, we were knocked out of the quarterfinals by Mali, and the tournament was also in Mali. In 2004, we got out of the group stages. In 2006, in Egypt, we also got out of the group stages. I must also indicate in Egypt, this is where we never even scored a goal. We did not have a point, we did not score a goal as well. And in Ghana in 2008, I think we got third position. In 2010, we did not qualify for Angola. So if you look at this, at one stage we were number one. And every year, except in 2008, we have been going down as a country. In 2008, that is the only time where we picked up. But if you look at 1996-1, we go to second, we go to third, we go to quarterfinals, we go to group stages with 4 points in Morocco. And then 2006 in Egypt, group stages again without scoring a goal. And then we went to Ghana. We beat Angola. We drew with Senegal. We played a draw with Tunisia. We lost to Tunisia. And in Angola, we did not qualify. Going further, in the World Cup, in 1998 in France, we got third position with 2 points. In Korea, Japan, we got third position again with 4 points. We did not qualify for the World Cup in 2006. We did not qualify for the World Cup in 2010. We qualified because we were host. According to the type of system that was used for us to qualify for the World Cup, if we were any other country, we could not have qualified for the World Cup. So you can see the pattern that we have always been going down. And when we look at everything, we have realized that the problems are within the five players that we will be discussing here: the national team, the PSL and the first division, the amateur football, the youth and school, as well as the grassroots. Starting with the first one, I think Mr. Chair has also spoken about the release of players in the country. Our league is rated one of the in the top 10 in the world, and about top six in the world. But we still have a problem in the country. If we have such a strong league, because it is the strength of the teams in the league that makes you to have a stronger national team. But in our case, it is not happening. We have the biggest challenges in this country is the release of players. You cannot go and play Ghana on the 11th and you only have 2 days of training because of the FIFA calendar date. We are all South Africans, and the PSL is part of us. There must be concessions that are made to say we need to have a better preparation going into this game. Maybe to make an example, we started preparing for the World Cup sort of in the last 3 months, seriously for the World Cup in the last 3 months. When we knew about 4 years ago that we would be hosting the World Cup, we went to Brazil, we went to Germany to prepare. There was a concession from the PSL. I'm sure that the PSL can still do that with the games that we have to play. We'll be expecting miracles if we will not have players released for better preparation. Now, even those players, when they come into the national teams, you still feel that the level of physical conditioning of the players is not up to scratch. And when you have 2 days, it is impossible to be working on the physical conditioning of the players. You have to go there and make sure that you put the team together for a proper understanding. This you do with the best players that you have in your league. We need the government to help us on the policy, on the release of young players in the country. We still have a lot of challenges when we want your under-17 team to go and play in Africa. The teams are refusing with the players. You still have a challenge with the under-20 players. When you go for champions in Africa, when you go for champions in the world, you still have challenges where teams will not provide you with players timelessly.
Chairperson, just as Sir Rama has indicated that he would like me to chip in whenever. A typical example of what Sir Rama is talking about is that presently Cabo Zondo, which is the coach of the under-20, he's got a return leg in Lesotho to play the Africa Youth Championship. And he hasn't got the players yet. He didn't get a typical good player like Sianda Kumu that he's been asking to get the player to help him, who qualifies, but he couldn't join him, and he's still not yet in camp for the return leg. So imagine what the consequence is going to be, because if they miss out on this, it means all those 20 under-20 players, they don't, won't have a play a strong competitive tournament, and it's 2 years for them to wait for that. And what impact it has to me on 2014 when I'm waiting for these under-20 players to join me in 2014 without competition. Mm. So realistically, this is what we're facing with the teams. And just to add on what Coach Seram was talking about with the PSL not releasing players, if I'm not trying to compare football to rugby, but I think some of the positives we should also note them, to say that when the Bokke plays, the Kerry Cup can still play, or the Babsa Cup can still play. And that happened last year when Bafana was in camp, and the league, the cups went on. And what stops that to happen with Bafana, when I have Ghana, to play Ghana, a big team like Ghana, as we know, expectations are high, and excuses are not needed on that match, when I have 48 hours with the players to prepare.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add on the problem of the players' call-up. Under 17 is going to camp on Monday. They've qualified for the World Cup in Trinidad and Tobago. They've had the torrid time to actually come to the camp because it has affected their school programs. They're all going to normal schools, township schools, which don't want to release the players for camp. They have to attend so many days throughout the year for them to pass and graduate to the next level. And that is adversely affecting how the coming together of the players for the national team.
Thank you, colleagues. We would like to have a situation where a policy is introduced that all the junior national teams must be coached by the South Africans. They understand the kids, they understand the culture. So it is imperative that we use the South Africans to use our, especially our junior national teams. The second tier will be that of the PSL and the First Division. We have a scenario in the country where coaches are coaching in the highest league and they do not have the highest qualification of the country. So this is going to impact negatively on the national teams because...
Can you repeat what you're saying, sir?
We have a scenario in the country where we do not have the highest qualified coaches coaching in the PSL. We have a scenario where there are a lot of coaches who are qualified, who are just sitting outside and watching and not coaching. The PSL or the First Division must be coached by South Africans. The chair has just indicated that there is only one black coach in South Africa. Mangoba Mgwiti coaching AmaZulu. He is the only one and he holds the highest qualification in the country. And the product of the PSL, it is a product that is going to be used in our national teams. We have just made an example of Spain. The chair has just made an example of Spain. About 8 players from the Spanish team are playing for Barcelona, and they are starting So it can only show you the strength of the team in the in your league. It's equal to the strength of your national team. I can make the second example in Africa. Al Ahly from Egypt. When Egypt plays, they don't have less than four players in their team. Any club competition in Africa has been won by Al Ahly. Most of these matches are won by Al Ahly in Egypt. You can see that this going into their national team. The last three African Cup of Nations have been won by Egypt. The last three consecutively, they have been won by Egypt. So it only shows you, if your league is strong, you'll have the best national team. So this is the product, the PFL and the first division, that we have to really make sure that it produces quality players. You can see at the moment that even our players who go abroad, who are bought by teams outside, they are not going to the best leagues in the world. They go to Israel, and Israel is not your superpower in football. And then we bring them back, we expect them to deliver miracles here.
Just to add on what Coach Ram was speaking about with the issue of local coaches not being given opportunity to coach, I can say to you, Chairperson, that and the members, that 10 years back, when I started to be the coach of SuperSport United, there were only three coaches, black coaches, in the PSL. And I can tell you, today, as we're sitting here, it's not more than three. But, Srame, you're saying the PSL coaches, you say the coaches that are sitting outside are best qualified coaches. They're outside. They're not coaching the PSL. But any other thing is in the PSL, and then they're coaching the PSL teams. Okay. Okay, let's go.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My name is Steve Kompela, and I'm not related to the chairperson. I happen to be one of the two coaches in the PSL, but as is, I'm standing on shaky ground, and for obvious reasons. I think what the technical director, the national coach, have put across is just clear, and I've had first-hand experience thereof, that for us PSL coaches, employability is a big challenge. For a general lack of confidence in us, for whatever reason, and with no support, if you're a technical person, success is limited. And the other thing, again, is a question of remuneration. There's a statement that we tend to price ourselves out of the market. But I strongly believe because of the qualification we hold, some of the black coaches are very qualified. However, when it comes to remuneration, that factor is normally neglected. And maybe if we could get assistance that a qualified coach must be equally goodly remunerated, it mustn't be a question of because he is black, then we got to look at the fact of saying, no, this is out of the market. And the other challenge in the PSL, I think, that we face consistently, the chairperson alluded to that earlier on, we always get these fringe jobs. We always own more like a low-key jobs where a team faces relegation, we get employed. We survive relegation, we get fired. And we also targeted for more like your teams that have low budgets, teams that have more like humble ambitions. We are never given like the high-profile jobs like any other coach would. And I think it's also a perfect and unique opportunity that we have a national coach who's indigenous, but he needs support. But one thing that we picked up in the PSL, you'll find a whole lot of other statements coming through to him. But to us PSL coaches, as put by the technical director, the challenges are immense. And the success of Spain was forced by Barcelona. The success of Holland was triggered by Ajax, and the success of South Africa would definitely be triggered by quality in the PSL, which unfortunately the ones who are better qualified, for whatever reason, are left on the sideline. So it is a huge challenge.
Yeah. Chief Nongonya, we would like to commend this new leadership of the South African Football Association. You see, when these members, CORA in particular, picked up the issue of Piso Mshimane and Pereira, it's a pity that Piso is here. We have to talk about that. It was a painful exercise. But Piso is an assistant coach to Pereira. But a cleaner who was cleaning Pereira's shoes had earned far better than Piso Mshimane. That is exactly what they're talking about. That when you are black, you are attached with the inferiority, and there's nothing that our own South African Football Association had given Piso something that is equal to a cleaner of Pereira. But the coach that Piso is more qualified than him, he gets almost 10 times than what Piso is supposed to get. But I'm saying, Chief, the trend that you are taking in SAFA makes our coaches to stay there. It makes our coaches to have confidence. I don't know why should we have a confidence in the coaches that are not in the country. They're not South Africans. And our own South African coaches equal to the task. And then it's nothing. So the question of the coaching and remuneration goes the same. And then you have been a victim, Peter, because this committee was the one that was vocal around your remuneration to the South African Football Association. But that time, Nongonyane, at least, was still on the right. It's now on the left-hand side with us now. I think things are going to go right now. Thank you. You can go.
In trying to help the situation, we need to have a scenario where all coaches in the first division are South Africans. That way we will be creating a platform to go to the next level with the team. Yeah. The qualifications of the foreign coaches must also be scrutinized, because most of these people, they come here as a physical condition trainer. They are not actually coaches. They cannot take the level of PSL where we want it to be. But because it's just a physical physical trainer, he comes here and he becomes a coach. So it is important maybe a policy be introduced to say, let us, even if he is going to be coaching PSL, let us scrutinize the qualification, because we want a better product that will impact positively on our national team.
Just for clarity, I want members to follow the pattern. Chief Nongonya, when a coach comes into this country, do you have something like the National Qualification Board that looks into the qualification of that coach vis-a-vis your standard that you put in the country? Because if you're a doctor, you come outside the country, the medical board in South Africa scrutinize that certificate and assess and say, no, this is lower than our qualification, therefore you cannot be a professor in South Africa and all that. Do you have a board that deals with those kind of assessment of qualifications of those who are coming to the country for that kind of a job? I just want to check. Chief?
No.
Chairperson, just to add on my technical director's input on the foreign coach, in my opinion, I've also highlighted on my vision the issue of foreign coaches in our country. We sometimes have a problem with the foreign coaches. A typical example is the one I just spoke to you about, that Siyanda Kolo, who's a 19-year-old who's supposed to be helping the national team of the under-20s. It was not released by the head coach of Sundowns, who is from Spain, whom we ends up living here in South Africa. But when Bafana plays, they they look down on the Fana, but they end up living here and they don't release players for our national team. So I think those people should be told when they come here that you're earning a living here, and one of your priorities is to make sure that you support the South African football team.
Let's go on.
On my perspective, with the on qualifications, give a prayer. Cousins, uncles, they are owning the clubs in the women's football. And I cannot go as a national team coach and tell the Preza, who's been there forever, it's his own club, own money. And he's coaching these girls, and I want to interact with him to say, how can you help the girls to train proper and be on the level of expectation and competitive level. The second challenge I have is there are a lot of girls now from the senior team that are going overseas. It's a new thing for them. They've never been exposed to that, thanks to Manana, that they've given them an opportunity. But the challenge that is coming with it, you have a serious Nigerian agent that is taking all the girls to overseas. And when we play, he caused us twice to qualify for Olympics and the World Cup. He wouldn't release the best players that are based in overseas when we played Nigeria and Ghana, so that the two countries can qualify for the Olympics and the World Cup.
Thank you, colleague. We also need a scenario to help the situation where all the assistant coaches must be South Africans, that is the PSL. And all PSL and third division teams must have at least three development teams. Maybe in trying to explain the last one, all PSL and third division teams must have at least three development teams. In the country, a pattern has emerged where we are having teams as opposed to clubs, because people are just interested in getting promotion to the next level. You have a team that does not have under-19s, that does not have a reserve side, that does not have the development side. That's what I am referring to. And we are expecting that team to be something, doing something for the community in which they are based. Where should those players, in what environment are they going to grow? If there is a philosophy or style of play which that team is doing, how are they going to get the players to fulfill the philosophy or the style of play of the country if they cannot have developmental teams? And if we have these developmental teams, they are going to help us in the sense that we will cut the inflow of foreign players coming into the country, because we will be developing our own players.
Saraf, if a team doesn't have a development wing, and then it's got only people that are playing for the PSL, for an example, where are they getting players as and when he has goals in that team? Because the team gets depleted, or it's old, or are they just on a buying spree in putting in other people there, but they don't have their own development plan? And where do they get players? Because after 2-3 years, some of the players are gone there. Just want to understand.
They do it in various ways, Chair. One, they will go all over the country and do the trials in the country. And secondly, they will be buying foreign players who are very cheap for them.
Honorable Chair, with your permission, please. I think there's one thing that most of us in South Africa are missing out on. Yes, we understand that SAFA are the custodians of the game in South Africa. And yes, they are responsible for the development of the game in South Africa. But unfortunately, they do not have the luxury to have players at all times. The only people who have access on a daily basis to all these youth players are these clubs. If maybe it could be regulated in a way that is proper, in the suggested way by the technical director, that these clubs must have at least 3 development sites, and we guaranteed that at least thrice a week or every day, these players train and develop at their clubs on a daily basis. Then the national team has the luxury only to select a squad. But if we have to leave the responsibility in the hands of SAFA, who does not own clubs, these players will come for 4 days, and there's no way you can manipulate any technical development nor tactical approach of the game in 4 days. Maybe emphasis put to clubs taking responsibility in their development squads could immensely help the national team. Again, the question goes back to Spain, Barcelona, Holland, Ajax. Clubs with strong youth policy and structure always help the national team.
Welcome, Ted. Welcome, and then we've already started. Thanks.
We were grounded for 2 hours.
Okay, okay. We can go on, from.
We were looking at the scenario now. The present scenario is we have 5 foreign players playing in the PSL. Sometimes you'll have a scenario where you have 8 players who are foreigners playing in the team. Because what we do is we naturalize players in the country, they become South Africans, and they are not eligible for our national team, and you have 8 of them playing at one time in a team. We must regulate that we cut on the number of foreigners coming into the country. And maybe I will skip the next one and go to number 3. Players who have represented their countries must not be given permanent citizenship status. That is what I am referring to. You take like a player like Nengo Mashe at Taylor Chiefs. He is a Zimbabwean. He has played for the national team of Zimbabwe. But because he has been in the country for 5 years, we give him citizenship. When Taylor Chiefs registered the player, he is not registered as a foreigner. He is now registered as a South African. But South Africa cannot use that player into the national teams. So it is disadvantaging a lot of our players in the country. So we must not see ourselves giving a permanent citizenship to those kinds of players who are already playing in their country because they are not eligible. Teams must not register more than 28 players. We have a scenario now in the country where the teams who have a lot of money will have up to 35, 40 players registered in their teams. And you can imagine if 11 players are playing at one time, 30 players are not playing. And these are the players who should be adding value into our league. And as a result of that, it is not happening. Value is not being added into our league. We also have a scenario where a young under 20 player will be signed by this team. And they just park their boy on the bench, he doesn't play for the whole year. And you only become better as a player when you play competitively. Now the young player has been signed, he does not play competitively. We must design, other countries are doing it, to say at least the boy must have 25% of the games played if you sign him. If you don't find him, go and put him in an environment where he will compete every day and grow as a player. But we have seen a lot of young players coming who show a lot of promise, and then immediately they disappear because they were bought by this team and they were put on the bench and they never played. The The coaches at this level must be South Africans. All coaches must have a qualification. We have a problem in this country where we say those coaches who are not highly qualified can go and coach in the amateurs, can go and coach in the youth. You cannot build a brand with people who are not qualified. We need our highest qualified coaches to be in the amateur league because they are still developing football in the youth, in the schools. But now we just put people there who are not qualified, who cause a lot of damage, who make sure that the kids must develop negative habits, and it is very difficult to take out those bad habits when a player has grown or when he has been signed into a proper structure. So the one thing that must be addressed is the remuneration of the development coaches, amateur coaches. Those people are not paid. They do this for the love of the game. Most of the amateur teams are not being paid. So our highest qualified coaches do not want to be in this situation. And we want to develop players in the country. And we can't develop players because we have people who cannot develop football. People must know that there is a certain way that you will train an under 8. There is a certain way that you use to train under 10. But if you are not qualified, you are going to look at Peter Musimane when he's doing exercise and give it to a 10-year-old. It doesn't develop. It is a competitive drill. But now you are putting it here because you are not qualified, you don't understand. And they are killing our youngsters. To grow our football in the country, if you look 20 years back, when the schools were playing football, everybody wanted to be part of the football matches. Everybody wanted to go there and see good football. But the same cannot be said today. If the school is playing, nobody will even bother himself by going there and watch football. The children spend most of their time in the schools. And this is the environment that we should use to develop our players. We need to have qualified coaches attached to schools. At the present moment, in the schools, you have a lot of tournaments. It's a once-off thing. It's an event. It is over. Now, imagine in a tournament where your school will play in February. They get knocked out in February. The whole year, the boys and girls are not playing football. They are not developing. So we need to introduce a league system in the schools. This is the scenario where football will develop better within the schools. Not tournament. It is like you go to university just to write exams, but you never go through the proper process of going to be taught and being prepared to write examinations. You just go for examination. That is what the tournament is telling us. And the last one, it is grassroots. That has been ignored in this country. There was a lot of grassroots. You will remember, ladies and gentlemen, when you are still youngsters. Every time it's break in the school, you go and play football. You go home, you're going to play in your street. Every time there was football. And the only thing that develops a player is that touch of the ball, that playing of the player. It takes about 10,000 hours for a player to be fully developed. That is why today when you see our players, because they don't have this 10,000 hours, and they play at the highest level, after 3 years, the player is gone.
as opposed to before, where you could have a player who played for 10 years, for 11 years, consistently playing. But now you have 1 year wonder, 2 year wonder, because our players are not properly grounded. We also, in this program, link this program to the schools, the grassroots program. We need mass participation. We need to entice our kids to start playing football. For obvious reasons, the health. The lifestyle of our kids now is going to school. There are so many things that they can do. There is mixing. There is DVDs at home. They never even walk to school. The car picks them, drops them by the gate, as opposed to before. You have internet that is competing now with our kids this day. So we have to make football very interesting so that we can have a lot of kids participating in football so that we can take out the best players from within there. Now, the chair has spoken about the strikers. We don't have the strikers in the country.
Why?
I believe in the absence of strikers, we can make strikers. FIFA cannot make a striker in the national team. He hasn't got time. How do you develop a striker in 2 days when you have a 2 day camp, or even a 5 day camp, or even a 2 week camp? In South Africa, we have realized that most of the coaches, they concentrate on coaching the group and the team. They never concentrate on the individual player. Imagine in a team where you have 40 players. How do you give individual attention to players as a coach? It is impossible. So, just like we have specialized training for goalkeepers, we can have specialized training for our strikers. We need to have institutions that we make where all these qualified coaches that we're talking about who are not working, who can be trained into developing the strikers in the country. Long term, it will be your grassroots. We have to develop this from a very young age. If you see our kids in the streets playing football, they have this idea of one foul. They just put a brick in the center of the road. They're trying to hit the ball against the brick, and they say it's a goal. How does it develop you as a striker? It doesn't develop you. There must be proper goal posts. I've had the opportunity to go to Uruguay, I think, a year back. In every park in Uruguay, there's goal posts and a net. Whenever children go and play, I was with people in Brazil last year in one conference of the coaches on the beach. There's goalposts in Brazil where they play goalposts all the time. Now our children are just hitting the stone. It will only promote dribbling. How do you get out of the situation to hit this? But can you shoot? You cannot shoot. It doesn't promote that. We need to have goalposts for grassroots where children learn to develop the love of the ball hitting the net. It is important. On medium term, that is where we must use the structure coach education to say, let us have within our manual an area where we talk about strikers. Medium term again, in the youth development, we can do that. But because the country, I'll say crisis, we don't have. Let us have immediately an institution where players can be trained so that somebody, there will be this individual attention. Even if people on a Sunday after they have played a match, he takes a player Monday and Tuesday and he can return the player to the team. It will help. It will make a big difference in the country on short-term basis.
Chair, I think based on what the technical director is saying, maybe a strong recommendation must be made with the PSL, who are the ones having players on a daily basis, to say, yes, you employ coaches, you've got physical trainers, you've got biokineticists, but as a short-term measure, as an immediate measure, have a look at having probably your strikers coach. Because long-term, then go to your youth, but immediately as is, apart from Katlego Mphela, how can we then help the national coach have good quality strikers? It's something that you cannot manipulate in a week or two, but at least you can help advance.
Chairperson, I've heard you speaking about the post-mortem of the World Cup. If you check on my vision that I gave it to you, I think on slide 7, that's the vision that I gave to the Football Association and also to the media. I've indicated that on the third point, that we need an interaction with the PSL coaches. We also have to, you have to understand my situation, that it's important that I must also observe protocol and not to cause trouble, and, because most of the time I must do it through my Football Association to speak to the PSL and PSL to speak to the clubs. Then we can have a briefing so that we can give the coaches the post-mortem. And I've asked my Football Association, and they promised that they'll help me with it. So we need to share the information, because as I stand, I've been with Paella for a long time, and most of the things I've learned from Paella are with me, and I haven't shared the vision. If anything happens to me, it just goes down the drain. So I haven't even shared with my colleagues. So some of the things you need to do the right way with protocol. And you have to understand as well, some of the coaches in the PSL would not easily like to be part of that, but I think we should not jump the gun. We should invite them, and we can talk after we've invited them to bring them and share the glory that Katlego Mphela, the year before that, he scored 4 goals for Sundowns the whole season. After we've been with him and worked with him and trained with him, he was a top goal scorer in the PSL last year. And you could see even in the World Cup, if he plays the same way he does, there shouldn't be any excuse why he should not score goals in the AFCON qualifiers for 2012. But the problem we have, if I just to highlight one of the main issues with the players that come from PSL, we got the players after the season has finished, the league has finished. But all the time we get the players, they are in a bad condition. And it's a fact. And we saw that when Bafana Fana is in good shape, yes, I agree that the results should have been better, but you could see Impala was a different player. You could see Shabalala was not falling off. You could see the big difference, because we work hard, we train them. And the way we train them is not the way the PSL trained them. And PSL has them for the whole year. And imagine now, I play Ghana, after I have released the players from the World Cup, that condition has gone down, and we expect the condition to come up, and we haven't told them what we're doing in the national team. And egos are there as well, that what can he tell us? I mean, we have to be honest and understand that every coach in the PSL also wants the position that I am sitting on. But I think we should be above that, to say, to respect the nation and be patriotic in saying that if Mphela is good, then Sundowns will benefit. Then he scores 14 goals. Then Sundowns can sell him overseas, as we've been speaking on the newspapers. And who benefits? If you take an example of Golden Arrows, we've taken so many four or five players from Golden Arrows. They've sold him in Kafiso Dikache to Fulham. How would they sell Kafiso Dikache? Because he needs caps from the Bafana Bafana. But when Bafana Bafana needs Kafiso Dikache, we can't have him. And when we tell them how to prepare Kafiso Dikache at Golden Arrows, it's a problem with egos, that we don't go there and all that. So the national team needs support from the Football Association to PSL. to say that you are the only ones now. If you, I read the back page today, Kaizer Chiefs doesn't want less than 20 million rand on Spiro Tshabalala. After he scored the game against Mexico, eh? Not when he scored the goal against the Maritzburg United, let's be honest. That's the price that you have to pay. And we have to select Tshabalala. I'm not trying to boast, but I could say that when I needed Tshabalala to come to Bafana Bafana when he was playing for Free State Stars, he was playing in Vela League. And everybody, the coach used to say, how can you select a player from Vela League? But when he scored the goal against Mexico in the World Cup, I say at least I was right to identify that boy. But we have coaches in the PSL that the coach of KSC was telling us, why you select Litsulonyane? He's not even in my starting lineup. But it's for me as a local coach. I said, I know who is Litsulonyane, coach. You landed here 3 months back. You don't know who this boy. And now, who's the best player in the midfield of KSC? It's Litsulonyane. So sometimes the foreign coaches, they give us problems with the players, and they don't know our players. That's why we play them. We played Mpela. Mpela was not playing under Michel. He was not playing football. But we put him in there because we know who he is, and we put our head on the block. But who's the top scorer now? Who scored against France? So those are the issues that we have with the local coaches as well, that we need support, and it's important that we need help.
Are you through with your presentation, Chief?
Thank you very much. Just to be clear.
Rick, can you switch off your... Okay,
thank you, Chair. Thank you, colleagues. And thank you to the coaches as well. They've made the presentation. And I'm very, very pleased about what they said to this committee. Chair, my is just on those matters that you have queried within the application. And to just clarify them. I think, first of all, Chair, I must indicate that I was taken aback by your remark against the CEO. I'm sure there has been a misunderstanding. I'm going to convey it to the leadership to strengthen that, because that's why we're at a good relationship with this portfolio committee. I'm sure there must be a misunderstanding. And,
Chief, do me a favor.
Yes.
Tell him as cool as it is.
Yes, no.
Or don't try me.
No. Okay, no. We'll do that. And in fact, we're going to communicate to you in writing to that. It's just that because they were also part of our preparation to come here. So what I hear now is taking me up there. But I take what you said. But the second thing, Chair, that I would like to indicate, the decline, as our coaches correctly pointed out, from 1996 to date, is worrisome. And as a football association, first of all, we did actually convene a symposium of coaches, and also invited technical people from FIFA as well as CAF, which they assisted us. And that is when it was clear that, in fact, for us to do this, South Africa, they do have a tour. They even said they can see football in South Africa is cut at dust. But we need somebody to travel, to try that, and that is the technical director. That is why then we advertised that post, and unfortunately, I was chairperson of the General Committee at that time, and we identified Sirane among them. And in fact, we then come up with a sort of a structure that there must be a technical directorate and head office. That in each and every province, there must be also provincial technical directors, so that in each and every region, there is that synergy, with a view that really we do identify and unearth the abundant football talent in South Africa. That's what we have done. And in fact, even then, the issue of symposium of coaches, which they have emphasized, it was decided. And again, I mean, they said that last week we had a national executive committee, chairperson of the General Committee did actually place this thing on the agenda as a recommendation, and we agreed. It's a question of a date soon this year, so that it can be done. The other one, the question of the president of the league chair, question of the league and ourselves. Yes, the buck stops with South African Football Association, and then the coaches correctly pointed out who owns the club, the players at the club bosses, whether from women or men, squad club bosses. But there are rules in which we must act. Unfortunately, the rules in which we act are giving us these 2 days that we're about. Clearly, it means that in pursuit of our transformation agenda, that must change. And I agree with the coaches. You can't give them 2 or 3 days and expect them to really win. I think we need to do this. Unfortunately, Chair, tomorrow we've got a joint licensing committee with the league. And clearly, these matters that have been raised by our coaches thus far, and no doubt by the members subsequent to our presentation, I will have to convey to them. And I'm glad that we have already hinted that we want to invite them as well. And I think that invitation is proper, in my view, with the league, that it could be addressed. Again, on the question of the coaches, foreign coaches that are being, you know, we are not. I said no to your question, that there's no forum really to try these coaches. And we are told after the event, and because our constitution does not give us that power. Hence, I think this has come at an appropriate time because there's a constitutional review now of SAFA. And already, as you have picked up in the media, I'm told, but we're going to be told tomorrow, that some of our colleagues in PSL don't like the reforms that we're saying they should be included in our constitution. But we're going to listen to them, Chair, tomorrow. But what we said we need to transform. And yes, our league is one of the best in this country and in the world, top six. But it is top six in terms of money. But we want it to be top six in terms of quality football. You know? And I think that's the message that our coaches are actually saying, which we have been saying, we've been the same all along, with which we agree. Naturally, we must engage our peers, not antagonize them, with a view that they can share this vision. Really, because when we're given a choice to watch a game, a South African Premier side playing, and any other major country playing, you don't have a choice at all. You can switch off, unless you're patriotic as myself, you have to be there and watch. But in terms of quality, you know, that is why, therefore, many people don't go to the game, something like that. But obviously, the PSL, and I know that they are doing something that is to improve that. Another thing, the question of these coaches. Also, the bus will not stop with us, also with our own department. Because when a player comes to South Africa, yes, you must have a permit. And definitely you must persuade the department. And in terms of the coaches, again, remember in our case when we were this issue of coaches was resolved in 2007, because South Africans were telling the same thing. Don't you have confidence in your coaches at that time? And we find that it is in principle correct. But unfortunately, those clubs, they go to the department, and the government runs them. The other issue, which is maybe Tony, is the question of the CEO of the league. We were told after the event that no, they're not appointed, and the government has endorsed that. And of course, at the present moment, we're told that the contract has ended, but the gentleman is still there. I'm sure they are still engaged with the government. But the principle of actually affirming our and having confidence in ourselves, all South Africans, I think is a good one that we need to take. But again, we need to engage the league so that it can also be transformed. And these are the remarks that I wanted to make, unless in the that you have raised that I have not, in which case I'll be able to respond. But by and large, Chair, whatever has been said by the coaches, I think is good and valid. And as far as I'm concerned, this is a matter that we need to address. Fortunately, this coming weekend, we are on the khutbah for 2 days. And, this meeting of yours comes at an appropriate time, because this must be effective in that khutbah, so that at the end of that khutbah, a new vision comes. Thank you, Chair. There's a veteran next to me. I would like him to say something, although he came.
No, I will give him a chance. We'll give him a chance. We'll give him the chance. And thanks, Comrade Nongonya. Today you have spoken like a comrade Nongonya. A very serious activist of the ANC whose agenda is to transform the sport in this country. I don't know whether were you consumed, but you are beginning to go out of the shell and become this thing that we want. Really, I'm honest. I was just taking in issues that you raised. And those issues are going to antagonize the PSL. But it's issues that we as government and the country are committed on them for the interests of the national team in this country. We're very committed to those things. But I may be able to, thanks for the input that you have raised there. And we hope that things are going to work. Members, I'm going to open up for you to seek clarity. All of you, Chief Makala Karani, Ree, and Head Coach, you respond to some of the things here, and then you share, and then the question. Number one, scorer. Number two, the Congress of the People is not yet had bought a ring, but I've seen the ID has bought a ring. I don't know when the wedding is going to be, but the Congress of the People, maybe the court case today can cause some havoc, but it's okay. Let's not talk about those things. Those are political matters. Cora?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I think that this presentation has come at the right time. I think also we will need to revisit the Sports Act so as to take some of these things to strengthen it and give it more teeth. But, you know, SAFA must come and show that they are the custodians of soccer in this country. We need to have a program as SAFA, a clear program so that the league take its line from the national program, so that we don't have a conflict when players are needed. If there is a clear program, these are our national matches outside the FIFA calendar, so that the PSL and all the teams can see that on this date we need to release this player. If they could do it for the World Cup, why can't we continue with it? So I think that will be needed. The three foreign players, you know, I read a sad article, I think last weekend, and they said that this team for these three foreign players is at the wrong time with these xenophobia things. You know, at times, when you correct the wrongs, we must do it at any given time. Because this has got nothing to do with xenophobia. Our players can't get through. What's the use of developing? And then you buy cheap players in Zimbabwe and let them come and play here. And those are the things which you have to look at very strongly. The remuneration of coaches. More especially, I agree with the technical director that if you don't have a good foundation, you don't have the correct coach there at grassroots, you are not building. Let us deploy these people there so that they give the correct mentality and let them grow up with it.
The issue of the constitution, Chief Nogonya. You see, if you need to antagonize the PSN, so it be. There must be something which gives you power to do it. Because if you are not going to strengthen that constitution, they will keep on challenging you. Thank you, let me stop there.
Yes, Mackenzie.
Chairperson, thank you. I must say that I'm extremely worried about our game. And it seems to me that the tail is wagging the dog. There's a serious problem here. I would like to start, my colleague has just mentioned some of the issues. But the first issue I'd like to say is that our national coach will only survive depending on the structures below him and the success of those structures. Otherwise, we're going to have a succession of coaches who fail because our structures aren't correct at the grassroots level going all the way up. The technical director, frankly, Honorable Sir, I believe that you gave us a wish list. A lot of the things you said were wish lists. We must have a school league. We must have schools playing. All this other. My advice is do it. You are the custodians of football in this country. We need to have some action. I agree with you about all your ideals, but I think they need to be done and enacted very, very quickly. You know, we talk a lot about the coaches and a lot of foreign coaches. And Chairperson, I'd like to say to you that those coaches are brought in by club owners. Maybe the club owners need to come here as well and tell us why they believe the local coaches aren't qualified. Because I think we need a straight answer on that particular issue. I get the feeling that there seems to be a reticence by SAFA to take on the club owners. And I know you're not looking for conflict, but is there too much power invested just at the top tier without it filtering, you know, throughout the system for the benefit of football? When I lived in the USA for a short while, they were granted the World Cup on the basis that they would develop football throughout that country properly. I was a coach at junior level from under 8 to under 14. Girls and boys I coached. And I had to get qualified, even as a rugby person, chairperson. But I had to do it. But what they did extremely well, and I'm saying to the technical director, is that they got the youth structures in place first. The first thing they did is they got the youth structures in place. They got leagues in place. They got clubs. They qualified the young coaches. They got school soccer going. There was good instruction. They developed referees, and they found facilities. Because remember, in America, it was dominated by three sports. That's where all the money was. Baseball, American football, and basketball. And soccer, as we know, it was just an infant sport. Today, they are a world power because they got their structures right. And they've battled to get the big stadiums, but they've got there. With regard to the PSL, I agree entirely about having the technical support. You know, you can't just have a PSL side not playing 30 players. It's just crazy. I agree with the 28 players, but I also say that each club should have technical development, skills development. It should have an academy of players who are receiving that basic structure. Because if they're not getting that technical support, they're never going to develop. And I agree with Coach Dimitri's comment in his report about kids at young ages being able to dribble and have fun and express themselves and not be too boxed in. And I think it's very, very important that that African flair that we're talking about is allowed to flourish and develop. Lastly, I just want to say that this issue about SAFA not getting players released in time, I think you just have to crack the whip and say our national coach needs the players and those clubs need to buy into it as many days as you want beforehand. That must be the deal. They must understand that if they're going to lose two or three top players, the national team is the one that counts at the end of the day. And that's what we all got to strive for. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Tandi, and then Mr. Mweska.
Morning, honorable members and persons of the guests. Chairperson and honorable members, I think if you are not saying that if you are not born in a country, you are not patriotic, but you just want to know what is it that happens. Honorable Van der Linde will address me. He always makes this noise about grassroots, which I'm very worried about. But I think SAFA, maybe the SAFA, they undermine their power given upon them because they don't act. I'm not sure whether is it a lack of leadership or is it being fearful, because these issues have been raised many times and we're still coming back to the same table. You see, one issue that I want to raise is that when they come back now, they must tell us, give us a report and say we've acted. And I believe if they acted in the lines of the Constitution and in the guidelines, then we are there to support them. One suggestion, the report that was given by Dr. Ramatisel, I must say to me it's pathetic. Because number one, South Africa is not a looting ground, you know. If you are a person who participated, I'll be a comrade today, who participated in the struggle, you know what we were fighting for. But now it seems those things have changed. It's a looting ground. I know I've been highly criticized by media in terms of the protection of information bill, because I was raising such issues to say this is not a playground. You don't loot and leave, you know. Because now these coaches behave like what we call in political language capitalism. They don't have interest on our own. I've noted a few points. Number one, maybe it's SAFA. Number one, the issue now, I think it's time that every football teams have women's clubs, so that we develop the football, the women football. Every team must have a club, no excuse. It must just be a. Oh, did we unpass a message? Even that. Whether it's Sundowns or the football club, because we can't be giving all this responsibility to SAFA while SAFA has got affiliations within. Number one. Number two, I became very disappointed to hear that most of our African players are not employed, you know, with employed foreign coaches. What does it say about that? Are you still saying that black mentor, you can't do it on your own? You see, I have a problem with that, because to show when someone who's African comes in. I remember when Coach Musimane had to come in, there were issues. How were they employed? How there was no procedure followed? And there are many times when there were no procedures followed. We know about these things, but we keep quiet. You raised an issue about girls. I could not get it about the girls and the Nigerian agent going overseas. I was a bit worried. You know why, Chair? Currently, we have a problem we link every social issue to football, with human trafficking. We take these girls, we take them to play abroad. Who is accountable for them? You know, because anything Chief Nongonya, that goes wrong, SAFA must account, even if they don't understand, or didn't understand what was the basis of the first contract. I raised this issue even about those old ladies who went overseas. As much as it's a good development for them to go overseas, Mr. Gombeck, anything that happens there, SAFA will be accountable, while SAFA was not part. So don't be undermined as SAFA, anyone as Nzele and Jebbe Ngati Gugwaki. Coming to the issue, I'm not sure, I might be corrected here. I've seen children from, I'm not saying I want us to disturb the issue of education of African children, that I cannot be part of that. But I've seen children of white children in flights going to play abroad during school times, you know. And I'm starting to worry, where is the balance? I was still saying we are still racially divided about that issue. On this issue of if a team refuses to release a player, like the issue, the example you made about Cabo Zondo with the Lesotho National, that means the person is not patriotic. The aim is to destroy, not to uplift. Because how do you refuse a player who is good, who is supposed to be seen by the world? You refuse to go and play. That means you are not patriotic. You are here to kill instead of coming to destroy. You know, I always have a question. Maybe it's time to be answered. Why these foreign coaches? You know, It's so I'm happy because when Ntate Ramathisela you said, some come as biokinetics and then they become coaches. It's time that SAFA now has got a board on how the N2F level or whatever board that will come and assess the coaches. Because we might find now a person who was teaching aerobics in Czechoslovakia will come here and become a soccer coach. Because we don't know, we don't scrutinize these people, you know. But also, I want to blame SAFA on some things because this cannot be done if there's good leadership. You know, it's time to put your... Maybe we must come to the youth liquid tissue. It's time to put your foot on your ground. Because SAFA, we are given power, you are given a mandate, we have a constitution, you've got rules, but you still allow anything to happen as if it's a playground. You're going to, Chairperson, when it comes to the issues of PSL, I don't know whether to have a different separate body. Maybe you must make me understand today. Because if PSL says this, SAFA says this, where is lineage in that? You know, how do we develop football whereby we have a demigod and semi-gods? You know, that's a youth language, don't worry. You know, because Nyani, I am a bit worried. I was watching also the women's football, as you said, Chairperson. I think it's time also that I know there's an MOU between us and the education department, but it must also go further with SAFA, with schools. Because if you don't do it on your own, you will find that we'll have a lot of foreign players even coming here to play in South Africans because it is education idea. So I think my issue is just for a decision to be taken. Thanks.
Thank you, Tandi. Suga?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would want to preface my current questions by congratulating the National Coach for having come in front of this committee for the first time in his entourage under the Vice President, Mwelo Nongonyan, the Chief. Chairperson, you see, I don't want us to reduce this to a talk shop so that tomorrow our integrity is undermined. You know, I don't want talk shop. I want real progress on these issues. The second issue is a pity that we don't have the director for sports in the Department of Sport and Recreation. In particular, the mass participation in sports as an observer. If the DG can be able to come here and listen to what is taking place so that he can shape his mind and make some serious inroads in terms of the policy direction of the country in as far as sport is concerned. Because we should not have this kind of a scenario and situation and deal with it in a piecemeal way. Approach, because we need to have a holistic approach that talks to transformation of our country. It can't be as if it is pre-1994. So the absence of the Department of Sports, maybe it slips in our mind to invite them as observers, but surely in the next round they should be on board so that we are all equal and read from the same page the challenges that are facing our sport in general, because I still remember it was said that we are still hammering, crafting the white paper to govern sports. As long as we don't have that clear-cut policy in place, translated into a law, we'll always have these escapees to deal with sports in a holistic way. Because the bottom line, all what you're saying, where is the sports policy? That's the bottom line. Then all other elements will come in to say where do we stand. The second issue, Chairperson, is the integrated approach by the social cluster in government, in as far as the interdepartmental approach when it comes to sports, in particular sports and recreation, the basic and higher learning institution, basic education and higher education. The third department, arts and culture, for the question of patriotism in our country. So those three departments are very central to what we're talking about today here, so that we can understand. Remember, there are other elements. Here we're just talking with coaches. There are other elements that speak to our national identity as a country, in as far as the national anthem, all that goes with it. So that we don't have these misreactions. Punctuated by certain challenges. So I'm saying, because in those three departments, here we talk also indirectly about the accreditation of our coaches. The bottom line, do we have policies that can regulate that so that we don't have this kind of thing? You see, this also makes me to go back a little bit, one step back, by checking at the Indaba summit that you had. Unfortunately, I was not there. I don't know whether they did speak to what is happening now. How, to what extent have we translated those resolutions from Indaba so that they become a reality and benchmark that with the progress that has been made since Indaba to date, so that we make the environment friendly and conducive for whoever who takes a certain position in sports, namely the head coach of the country. Because I'm fearing a situation where you put a person in that position and you flood him with lot of challenges, unintended and intended one, to him to fail, equally with our national coaches. That's the scenario. So I'm saying, Chairperson, I am a bit worried. So in other words, there's a huge responsibility on politicians to govern sports properly in the country. Not to do this piecemeal approach. Today we will blow hot, tomorrow we are cold, and at the end of the day we will accuse one another. I'm sorry to take this kind of approach, Chairperson, but I think in my mind is just thinking, I want to go beyond, but I'm trying to refuse that. I don't know whether the staffer in their boss, the rat or the hutla, are going to talk of the number of teams in the PSL. For instance, we are a country of 48 people, plus 48 people. 48 million, I'm sorry.
50 million.
I think they are saying 50. With only 16 clubs located in a particular corner of the country. Or a province, and the rest of the country is spectator to that. Whether is there a thinking to say, let us increase our number of clubs to 20 or 22? There are countries that have got a smaller population, yet their league clubs are more than us, and their league goes seamless. And as a result, they have quality players that they displayed in this World Cup, FIFA World Cup. We are only 16 clubs. And yet in that 16 clubs, if you times that by 11, it gives you something like 170-something. And in the 170-something, you speak of foreign players, five clubs per maximum. By 11, that gives you, five or six. It will give you something like 80. In other words, your pool 80. Of players,
80
would be around 96 from the total picture. In other words, if half of your players are foreigners, what does it tell you? Where do you get the strength of the country? You know. So I'm saying I'm just making an abrupt calculation because I've got a lot to talk, but the time constraint is there. So Chairperson, I think they need to probe that. From our side, the question of the policy in relation to regulating the incoming and outgoing of players, coaches, and the standardization of the remunerations kicks in this area. So I'm very worried. But I want just to check a small thing from the club, from the delegation. before I go there, because there's a question of also the curriculum of our players. You know, this issue of the curriculum is very important, especially for those players that are playing in these unders and yet had to leave from time to time to serve the country, be it under 17 at the national level, be it under 19 and so on. So in other words, because if the DG's office was there, we were going to pose those questions to him as to what extent is he sympathetic and patriotically for our young and upcoming players to go out and represent us. And yet when they come back, they are adversely affected by schooling and the results thereof, let alone the entrance to university. Because once you talk under 17, those learners already are in grade 12, some of them. And the admission, does it allow them to get into higher learning institutions? So I'm saying it's a pretty well, it's not here. But I want to check from coaches, as the legends, do they have a union where they come together as coaches and represent their issues at that level, so that there's a kind of bargaining? You remember that there is a structure like SAFU. National, are you organized or not yet organized? I'm not saying form a union if it's not there for coaches, but just to clarify my mind, so that there is a platform to raise these matters, especially with the experience of my old man here,
yeah.
My legend.
Yeah. Thank you, Suga. I'm coming to you, Gigi. One thing that we must not take it out. Coaches are workers. So the question that you're raising is very pertinent. Coaches are workers. You see, the tendency of South Africa of coaches is just a doorman. That is what is going on here. But we want to check the issue of coaches. Anybody in this country has got a right to group and be able to speak for themselves around all these other issues that are affecting them. The player union, I was happy that I met some of the guys, their leader. It's a Paris young man. The last week on the PC in Paris, he told me that Chief Nonkonyan is interacting with the players union. Because they are workers, Chief Nonkonyan. And then players union cannot go to South African Football Association and then at a PSL level. And then they are not recognized. In fact, that structure is not the structure that has to recognize players' union. You are the people that have to recognize the players' union as the custodians of football. You see, another thing that we have to do, that God has raised, we'll have to check into the constitution of the South African Football Association in harmony with what our national legislation says in terms of employment and all those other things, and then make a signature there. So the issue that Tusuka is raising is very important, because foreign coaches become employees that are better than our own local coaches. And you can't understand why is it like that. But JJ, I'm observing you, and then you are the last McKenzie. Yes,
Mr. Chair. There's a lot being said. To me, it's actually very important that SAFA decide where they want to take South African soccer. We had a similar case in England where with cricket, where the England team was useless. And they had to go sit and think what's wrong. They had to go to the drawing board and decide what must we implement to get a change in our team's performance. So SAFA must go sit and decide, is it right that the clubs which is owned by individuals, that they've got so much power. I believe SAFA can dictate in their constitution on certain things, especially how many players can play from in the country and how many foreign players can play in a team. And that's the crucial thing. SAFA must go decide, is it two players, foreign players? Then SAFA decide just two foreign players. That's the one aspect where SAFA has got to decide. The same with selling of players to overseas clubs, our own players, our South African players, because that's where the problem is with the whole women's team sold overseas and they can't play. SAFA must decide on that contract before any player can sign a contract. SAFA must dictate to, in its constitution, a player can be sold to Madrid, Real Madrid, or AC Milan on this condition, always available for the country when the country has to fulfill FIFA duties. And that's some of the things which SAFA has got to decide. In soccer, there's more than enough money. More than enough money. So I don't want to elaborate now on. It's important if you decide on what is a club, then that will specify. It must have so many players, so many teams, so many players in teams must be local. So that's for me the basic, and that's what England did to turn around their cricket, and that's what SAFA has got to make sure, and make sure that money isn't just thrown. Now, Makwaland, you get that amount, and nothing is done to make sure that development is done there at grassroots. Because there's a lot of money. I don't want to mention names and so on, but now the past 6 weeks, there was a lot of money being thrown. Was it used for the development which was supposed to be? I mean, I know Bryce was out, and not soccer development was done. But make sure so to me, Mr. Chair, SAFA must go to the drawing board and decide what, I mean, a wonderful World Cup, wonderful. But I mean, is it right that we couldn't make it forward? So that's to me the main things which SAFA must. I mean, these coaches, we're talking, is it necessary for the... SAFA must dictate to clubs, you must have coaches which is local-based. So that's, to me, SAFA must do that. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Gigi. See, Chief, JJ is raising very important point. Very important. You see, Saramel showed us the team South Africa when it was playing there. You see, JJ said that should we rejoice mediocrity, and should we celebrate for us not to have gone to another stage of the World Cup? And let me tell you again, I'm 1% doesn't really have to hide. And saying to you, if it was Pitso Musima who coached the national team, you could have gone quickly. That is Ted. In 2004, in Egypt, it was a dismal failure. Nothing that was said. Jomo won and lose and draw. Jomo said, quickly cut it off. But if it is another person in this country, and then it becomes such a nice, cozy thing that nothing that has happened. I can tell you now, go and lose to Ghana. When we play sometimes now, go and play to Ghana and read the papers the following day. We told you Pizzo is not equal to the task. That would be the headlines that are going to say that. But if they could take the assistant coach who comes from Brazil, the one that was with you there, they said that, no, he's on the learning curve. Let us give him a chance. That would be what we say.
And that is the mentality of ourselves in this country. If it is one of us, we are quick to guillotine him. But if it is somebody else, then we say, ah, no, 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 no. Things are going to come right. We must have one standard of measure in those people, in every person, Chief Nongonyan. I'm happy that Upaya Governor, if Upiso do not perform, you must measure him against another person. But you cannot have a different measure to Piso as South African Football Association, and other people have a set of measures that are soft and nice, and he's got hard measures that are measuring him. Must not be the case. All of us must be measured the same, equal basis, and then must say, yes, the output is correct. So JJ is raising a very important thing.
Thanks, Chairperson. Part of it has been covered. Just the last point very quickly. In the United Kingdom, the Premiership League, which is probably the wealthiest league in the world, England has been weakened by the policy that they have there. Because you have so many foreign players in there that there's no development of local people. And what's happened in South Africa is that the national coach in England now has to have a young English coach on the coaching staff. That's how bad it's got. So it's swung around where England have fallen off the bus completely by not developing their own people. I just want to say I think it's absolutely criminal if young overseas players are coming here for cheap money at the expense of our local talent. And therefore I would support a limit on overseas players, but those overseas players must be international players who then can qualify for a work permit. That's fine. But the rest, our youngsters must get that opportunity, I believe. Thanks, Chairperson.
Those are others for clarity, others are input, and then all of you can respond on those. But I think you can
hear what the pattern of members in terms of us influencing legislation. Because we wanted to hear from the coaches what are the problems. If the problem is that there's no policy on a junior player, a player who's 18, 17 and all that, and then such a player is very young, and then you can't release such a player. I don't think it is correct for anybody not to release a junior player. I do not think that is correct. So what we should do is say, all junior players, you can't contract them and have a question of prerogative that he can't go and join the national and the South African Football Association. It must not be the luxury room. Because you don't develop that person when you do that. You don't develop it. So it must not be a choice. It must be a clear put on the legislation that junior players are not going to be released on the terms of anybody. It doesn't matter whether they're Pirates or Kaizer Chiefs or Sundowns. As long as the junior player, Piso or the coach of the under 23 can call that player at any given time. I think we have an understanding of what we're talking about. And then so that when we move, and then we must have a better enrichment on the piece of legislation that we are going to amend. Chief, next year, and it's our better game against the SS Buzile.
Yeah. Thank you, Chief. Be okay. Let me just start, Chair. Colleagues, thank you very much for your inputs. And Comrade Cora, we cannot agree with you more, my brother, of the need to transform football in this country. And part of that transformation is the constitutional review. We're coming from a history that we all know, where football was invited. You know, there was SASA, which was formed by a league. Some of our colleagues perhaps have got that thinking that now that you were one time our baby, you can't be our bosses. That's not the case. Forgetting that after SASA, the Federation, there was that baby, it became
parent.
That must be faith. This is what we need to do. That is why in March this year, the new leadership, after the professionalization of football in the world by FIFA, we had our own session with them in Robben Island in January this year, about the 8th of January. We agreed that there is a need for overhauling of the administration in the country. Part of that is constitutional review. And our principles there were not actually driven by anything which took place before the election. Well, some people think that there is that. So I agree with you. Secondly, the question of 6-5 rule. In Sydney, in the FIFA Congress, this matter was tabled and discussed. Because it is a concern not only in South Africa, but world over. And then FIFA itself felt that, no, this mischief must be addressed. To restrict, there must be more national in team than foreign nationals. And after that, there was the conference again in Johannesburg, because UEFA and other, Europe especially, said that this campus is supporting this rule. But it's passed, but it's being fine-tuned by the leadership of FIFA in this regard. That is why, therefore, also the question I think Honorable McKenzie pointed out. The issue of power that vests in clubs and is also a concern. You may find, for instance, that in Great Britain, again, there's no way that a club owner can be the president of the association. Can't. And also there's a question whether really you being a club owner, you must also administer, because there's that element of conflict of interest in that regard. That is why the new leadership were firm even before the election that in this country, there cannot be any club bosses that can have a boss of a club and also be president of a federation. As a matter of principle, not that anything else. As a matter of principle. Because we needed those, of course, club bosses. They want to pop. This is fine. We support them. And within, but the national federation must have power to make sure that there's a leveling of playing field there. Because what is actually happening also is that the sponsors go to the few. And the many don't have sponsors. That's precisely because of that. And the trend is again that, no, for you to be in the national team, you must be in that team. That cannot be right. That is why I agree with Comrade Halima Mutani, for instance, that and which has been shared by some of the comrades here, and I think also the head coach Piso correctly pointed out. We must be proud in identifying the players that play in the national team. Find them anywhere. Don't wear blinkers and jerseys and no, I'll go and have them in Muelo FC. That is Muelo is my name, you know. And that, no, you must be brought in that regard. But also, which I have not raised, which I think we must raise in the administration of football, there's also another element of chiefmanship. Some players have got business managers. A player being managed by a person, besides the club bosses. There are these other dynamics that are there. We need to regularize that again. Fortunately, I think the members are quite correct. The National Federation must look into that question and actually grant those people the permit, because That is why when we were interacting with our head coach Pizzo, we said one other thing that we would like him, he must not be bossed around and not around by these club bosses and even in this national agenda and even business managers. He should actually do his job in the manner in which we want in this country. And I agree with Comrade Tandi. You know, we need, as leaders, take leadership. When you are a leader, sometimes you can take a decision that is not popular.
That becomes unpopular.
Exactly. And you need to take decisive step. I think, well, but the other thing that has actually made us to act cautiously is that after the election there was talk that they will go to the attack and whatever people will come, and that's unfortunate. And unfortunately, a very important member. Special member, the league, went in public to say, "Well, we have not yet recognized this inspector who will challenge you after the election." The effect of that has been that, for instance, people that are complaining about that have not been coming are waiting. The sooner, I'm sure tomorrow we're going to start it, so that the sooner the better that thing is cleared. Then everybody's going to come up, because some people are happening. No, the leadership is going to crumble, and they still think that it was a miracle that we decided the manner we decided in the last election. And some of them they said, "Well, Comrade Kastini will not be a president." No, yet we are very sure that he will be our president, and he will continue to administer this in accordance with the. The football transformation agenda. And then on the question of the coaches, you're quite correct, I think, honest member. But in terms of our constitution, which we are now revising, is that football coaches now will be also associate members. In other words, they'll be united and approach us as if, like, of course, even the referees now. The trend from FIFA and CAF is that they must also have the associate membership status. Even players themselves, associate membership status. Hence, I'm engaging with the legions because they are also South African Football Masters Association. So that all of us can really work together and to really improve the South African football. I think the other thing, I think, JJ, you, the same thing that I want to tell you, that yes, we need staff to be very decisive, and we need to fear no one, especially on matter of principle. I agree with you. And we cannot let South African staff. I think ever since the new leadership took over, some hope. Football does not belong to us, it belongs to you. Hence, we come here and account to you regularly. Lastly, check, which I did not, I'm sorry. You did indicate that the coach or some of our coaches were paid even less than an employee of Pereira. And I take that perhaps you take talking in jest, but if it's real, and we will never happen.
Chief, let me clarify it so that you must know.
Yes.
When we asked Mr. Oliphant and Ivan Kosa in the meeting in which you were, in the mass building M46, it is where the revelation around the salary of Pereira was made, if you recall. And in that meeting, that's where we learned that the trainer gets how much, and an assistant coach gets how much, and the other assistant coach, which was Pizzo, gets how much. So the maybe the language that I've used,
okay.
But in essence, without getting into the personal issues of the salaries of people. That's why we have taken that matter with you and said that why is there a problem when it has to come to our own coaches? Because the trainer gets 360,000 and the coach gets 800 and our own gets 200,000.
Oh, no, you're referring to the history. No, that I can...
No, it was not in your leadership, but that's an empirical, honest effect on the table around how Piso was treated, which was not very fair. A cleaner, that's why the person who's earned 360, who was a trainer, that's why I said that he's a cleaner, and Piso, an assistant coach, get lesser than that person.
All right, thank you.
I'm
now clear.
Okay.
I was worried that we're paying this.
No.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Thank you for clearing that. Otherwise, colleagues, coaches, if there's any matter of technical, please, you're not concluding this because we're going to guide the chairman.
If there's any other thing, no, I've closed for the member. I'm getting the answer because we want to take quickly about 10 minutes. If there's any other loose end there, and then I would like you to... I've considered your letter long ago.
No. I did not get my hand.
Oh, you didn't have your hand up.
No, I did not get my hand.
No, Chief Nokonya said that he has noted all what you said.
Okay.
He mentioned even your name. Chief,
she knows my sister, my colleague, my everything.
Chief, you said Chandi. You mentioned the name.
Yeah.
To tell that the weakness, I'm Chitku Mame.
I see.
That's my problem. Uche Chandi, I have noted you are absolutely right. And then I've noted some of the things that you said. And then you spoke about one of those things. Now, Uchan Duti, of Ansaranga.
I'm not problematic because it's Women's Month.
Okay.
But, Chair, I understand the Chief says he's noted everything that I said. My issue that I want assurance here is the issue that I raised on the issue of the women's football.
Yes.
Because I'm a woman, number one, it's Women's Month. So I would say, it's time for PSL, it's time for all clubs now, to a women's club, to. I just want that surety that it will happen.
Yeah. I've noted that. I was going to summarize and say, but you can answer that.
Yeah.
The issue of the women's club, the issue of these girls going outside the country, bought by people and all that, which might lead to this human trafficking. I was going to make summary on those because. Those are the issues that we have to take care of very seriously.
No, Chair, I think the Honourable Member is quite correct. And in fact, Chair, the other thing that I wanted to emphasize is that in the new constitution that we're going to release next week, another thing is the club licensing. We're going to license clubs having met certain criteria, including, of course, the women's football, including, of course, what is the coaches that were saying. Because we need to raise the standard. But as I say, it is a matter that may be in the public domain, WNT, all other people, including, of course, PSL, which we're going to start tomorrow. And I just wanted to emphasize that. No, I take all your points, Comrade, and seriously. Thank you very much.
Comrade, before Mr. Serran conclude, yeah. I just want to get you raised something very important. I have never heard you in Sava saying anything about, here is a clerk in the PSL C says on the national newspaper, the war of the election is not over. I have not heard any leader of the PSL raising that. I had Singh as the CEO raising that matter, and your silence was disturbing. And yet, person, and it is the thing that we as this committee say that why are you bringing in this foreign person? Are you saying our director generals in the country are not equal to the CEOs of the PSL. PSL is a little pot of 16 players. Director generals are running this country. And then he said, no, we don't have a person with capacity to can run the PSL. And then you bring Singh, and then he must make this kind of statement attributed to you, because you said that, no, I the whole war is not yet through. And where we're sitting, we know that the whole thing of the election is over. It was endorsed even by the FIFA. But here the clerk is saying, no, the war is not over. And all of you, leadership of SAFA, are quiet about it.
No, Chair, with respect, not. But you are quite correct when you said we didn't go public. But what actually we have done, we have written letters to the league and to explain themselves. And by the way, that club we're talking about, he was not the only one. Taylor Zhang also did that. And we're in the verge of charging people with misconduct because we realized that we didn't say that. But we resolved that no. Let us explain, get an explanation from them, and so that we understand. I can even indicate that in the, our NEC last week, that matter caught up, and we agreed that tomorrow, in our joint license, we'll just deal with it, because as I indicated, Chair, it really, you know, affects us adversely as SAFA, because ever since that statement was uttered, we have not received one sponsorship. Mm. We are in dire need. And sponsors are waiting to see this war that people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I hope that this thing will come to an end so that partly the leadership of the PSL can just tell the nation that this thing is done and over, and that they, from our sovereign concern, we want to really engage them constructively tomorrow, and with a view that at least at the end of that meeting, this thing is coming to an end. Because we all need now to concentrate on what we need.
Thank you. Ray.
Thanks, Mr. Chen. Maybe one thing for me, maybe that will help the direction of football in the country. Maybe I was making a suggestion that all the club bosses in the country might be called to parliament so that maybe they can share what the problem is with the local coaches for them not to have it. Maybe it will also help so that we have information that we don't have.
Thank you very much. No, we are going to have the PSL meeting. Chair, thank you. One of the things, if you can check on slide 7 of my vision to the council, is that I think JJ also raised something not directly to that but indirectly, meaning the use of under 23 players that I said it on live on national TV as well, that I know I'm not going to be popular for what I say, but PSL must have 3 players in the starting lineup of the under 23 players. So if you have 3 players on the starting lineup of under 23 players, it means you can have the under 23 players playing week in, week out.
Mm.
So it doesn't catch up with me 2014, because I can tell you now, 2014 is going to catch up with me. These under 20 players who are not playing, time is going to catch up with me. 2014, you can bring any Alex Ferguson to coach South Africa, but you'll go on the same way and same way. It's going to be a wave and wave of changing coaches because of the development of the country. Is there any other input? Okay, fine. Can you switch off that? Thank you very much for the input. Gentlemen, your input before, still around. The Congress of the People. He's saying Bissau. He was expecting. He was expecting to have a very palatable presentation, but he's very depressed. It's the Congress of the People. He thought issues in development of football and issues in coaching are just things that would flow quickly. But he says, Chair, this is a picture that's scary and it's depressing. But Chief Nongonyan is here. We'll assist you, Chief, to be able to make your vision to be realized. When these members are so depressed on the state of football in this country, it means if we speak outside about how you presented this to us, we're not going to instill hope to our people. It's not going to give them hope. The issue of the release of players, the issue of development of players, the issue of the junior team, the issue of South African coaches vis-a-vis the PSL, and the question of the proliferation of coaches that we don't even have an idea what their qualification is, it's a sad story. It is as good as pumping doctors into this country, put them in a surgery. They must operate people for heart surgery, and then we have not checked what their qualification is for about. Because that foundation that you're talking about, gentlemen, it's messed up by people that have no clue and do not have an understanding of what football is all about in terms of development and how we should take this thing forward. All these other things, the question of the foreign nationals in this country, we're not saying they must not come into the country, but we're saying they must come just like any other person who goes to London to go and get a work permit and work, and there are stipulations that is work within these conditions. And us in the country, we must begin to do those conditions. The question of the level three coaches. In fact, one thing that we liked that the SAFA said to us last time, so they were, when they were presenting the agenda, where they want to take football in terms of development in future. You're not here. They said to us they have 4,900 something coaches in the country. And we were pleased about that. But those coaches must be linked to schools for having a good foundation. Because if you have somebody with no foundation, and that house is going to fall, because as soon as there is a wind, the house is not properly constructed, the foundation is not right, it's going to collapse. The players we have in our app, the quota for number of players in the country. But in the three, it's what we have a little bit of a problem with as a committee. Three peso means three multiplied by 16. It's huge. It's huge, really, I want to tell you. The law that we are going to amend, we are bordering around the question of two. But in the field of play, one. All teams must have two, which is 32, it's fine. The bonus that we are given to them. But in the field of play, at least, should be one foreign player, and then there should be compulsory, the under 23, three at least, and all those things that you're putting about there. Then when we coach them properly, in terms of the law, should be able to have the output that you want and say, at least our development is going a little bit forward, not this, but it's up to a discussion. But I can tell you, the Congress of the People is going to vote on us on that clause, that two is enough, because it's opposed to this huge three of the honeymoon in South Africa of foreign players. It's not heavy on it. So at least I have the ANC as an alliance in the Congress of the People. 28 players registered. I think we agree with that one. We'll discuss with that one, because what you do with 50 players, are you buying them from other teams to frustrate them because it's a talent that is beginning to emerge, and therefore it's threatening your territory as the only boss in the crowd, and therefore buy them, put them on the bench, frustrate him, and then at the end of the year, he's no more sharp, he has lost the touch and everything. The issue that you are raising around the issue of the target, I think it's very important. But time and again, there should be a goalpost. Our children must be able to be taught shoot the target. The ball must go into the target, not on the stone. Put the stone there and hit the stone. That's not the target. Correctly the target, and then you're beginning to do that. The other thing, the creation of a specialized unit around the strikers, something that all of us, I think, it's important, because it's going to say we have now people that are deliberately, because I don't know what kind of football. Football is another animal. That's why I'm not a coach or any other thing. I'm a member of the ANC. It's a very stupid animal. It looks at one thing, and then the other thing doesn't look at it. It says, no, we must have somebody who's going to specialize in coaching the goalkeeper only. It doesn't say, but can't we have somebody in dealing with the defense? Can't we have somebody dealing with the midfielders and the striker? And all of them together are making a very solid progress, and then we're able to have a holistic approach on that. But now you train only goalkeepers because you're afraid that the is going to concede the goals, and then in order. But when you get a good striker, he concede the goals, and then you can train him, no matter what kind of, how you can train him, but he's going to concede the goals as soon as a good striker comes closer to him. You see? We have noted those issues. So the number of those things. But I was happy when you mentioned the issue of Spain with and Barcelona. Spain, with 11 players from Barcelona, 8 of them, it's something that tells you how their development is, and then it is feeding in the national team. At any time you close up your eyes, you can make up a team, and then the progress goes on in the team. So Spain will go a little bit far. But Spain with our own style, please. Spain with our own style, put discipline at the back. And when you put discipline at the back, I say, close the back door, be disciplined. Inside there, just express yourself in football and then frustrate them. That's what the Spain is doing. And that is your own. The pattern now, I was talking to my brother, my cousin, not my brother, no, my cousin. I was talking to my cousin and saying to him, but are you aware that the pattern of the world is changing? It's taking the African style, South African style. Are you aware that that is what the world is doing today? The world doesn't go to Europe and take long balls and all those other things. People run up until his tongue is out of his own chest. No. They're doing our own football, modify it, perfect it. They're going to beat us with our own game. And we have the resources. We have the talent. We have everything. This is our own game. We have to perfect it. We have to own it. We have to make it what people want South Africa to be. Please. Don't cause problem in the meeting. So the question of school sport, really. There is what you call mass participation in the department. There is a spy from the department who's sitting next to us here. Is going to report about this. It's another sister of mine. The question of school sports, there is what you call mass participation. People who are doing mass participation, there is a lot of money from the department, more than 460 million in that mass participation. But the mass participation, have you gone there as coaches in the country, you and Pito as a director, and say, education as sport, can you tell us what are these mass participation all about? To what extent we as South African Football Association and other coaches can interact in what you are doing in this mass participation, so that your mass participation must speak to agenda of the South African Football Association, so that it should be a standard uniform, there should be no confusion around that. Because our mass participation deals with talent identification, this thing that you're doing really. On your roller coaster throughout the country, picking up players and all that. The Department of Sport has that resource. The best thing that should happen is that when are you doing these things, and then you don't have even to spend money from Nongonyan and all that. They give you a program. You go to those school mass participation program. you pick up that talent that you can pick up, and others must do human movement, just exercise and all that. But you pick up the talent, you begin to say, this is what we're trying to build through the Department of Sport, because the Department of Sport has that resource around mass participation. And the Department of Sport has what you call club development too. But their club development, is it talking to your own club development? Huh? We don't know. So I think you will have to do a deliberate action in meeting the Director General of the Department. And just discuss with him about club development, discuss with him about mass participation, and have a synergy and be able to direct it, because its intention is to make development of sport. And therefore, if it makes development of sport out of the tangent that you want, then it has unintended consequences. And that is not what we want, Chief Mongonya. We want it to yield the very same results that you want, and you can use that vehicle on mass participation. And then with the coaches that you have and all that, the only thing that is going to be a little bit of a struggle is those coaches' remuneration at the level in which they are. The qualification, we are going to put it as a clause that anybody who comes into this country, there should be a board that check the qualifications of the people here. Because when you're in Standard 10 in South Africa, you go outside in London, they are national qualification framework. Check your certificate, that your Standard 10 certificate equals to their Standard 10 for you to be able to get into the university there. And it's clear. If it is not, they will say, okay, we will put you on few courses for you to meet our own Standard 10 certificate. You need one or two courses. These are the courses. As soon as you pass them, they accredit you, and then you get into the university. Not this thing you see. I think those are important things. The other important last point is Amakhenzi's point. He likes the grassroots sport and the school sport. So I've already alluded to how we can be able to deal with those issues. The women's team, Makalagala, that women's team has to not be privatized. And then you have to sit with Chief Nongonyan and Salam and say, you see, that is what has made many people not to be good in the Sports Confederation, SASCOC. There is a sports confederation called SASCOC. Mm-hmm. You know, that anima is a mother, a father, an uncle, and all that. It is not an anima that is made out of people who love sport. It's made of somebody who has a dust in his room, in his bag, in his garage, and somebody is playing table tennis in his garage, and all of them, they to go together and go to the conference of SASCOC, and they topple football, they topple rugby, they topple cricket, and all that. And when you finally check who are the leaders of this anima, others are horse racing, others are on table tennis, and all that. Those are the people that lead the transformation agenda of sport in this country. But that agenda is not even there. It is about their own personal gain, what is going on in that anima. So you have to go and sit down and discuss and make us to understand how are we going to keep this privatization of our own national assets. You don't have any other thing in this country. Your asset is sports, football in this country. And therefore, as soon as you privatize it and then it's gone, you must forget about it. This is exactly what I'm warning you as coaches and say. The pattern, Chief Nongonya, in Premier Soccer League, the ownership of those teams is scary, because the pattern is changing. It shows that finally, South Africans are not going to be the owners of those clubs. And South Africans are just going to be players there. But the ownership of that club rests elsewhere, just like in the mine. I made an example of the mine. De Beers, Oppenheimer rests somewhere in heaven, and here, people are digging the gold and exporting to him. That is a problem. So we must not allow that kind of a situation to go on. But thanks very much for that input. We heard what you wanted us to hear. Then this is exactly what we wanted you to do. So that when we discuss, no, Chief Nongonyan, when you're not there, we'll discuss them at the level here to as leaders and then Kakuhle nje, and then we will address this matter. Chief knows that. Thank you very much. Ted, thanks for coming. We've heard that you are grounded a little bit. And then we said, no, let us start, and then we just... But we, as a committee, want to tell you, we welcome your submission. Very provoking submission, very good. But that's how South Africans have to do their thing. And say, I have an idea. Can I have a privilege of coming to present to the leadership of this country this idea and see to what extent can you take it so that it must benefit our people in this country, football in particular. So we are going to give you a chance, speak on your input, say whatever you want to do, say about sport. One thing that we have Ted here in this in the country, that you must say thank you very much to South Africa, is what you call amenities. If you have said anything about Chief Nongonya, he cannot take you to court, any court of law, because you are protected by parliament. And even if he can assault you now, like Johnny Dilani, won't go to court. And then, but outside there, then there's court there. But inside this premises, it's a holy ground. So you can say whatever you want to say, but Nongonyani must not call you outside to say it, because there, we are not there to protect you at all. So you can say whatever you want to say and then really present your paper. We appreciate it. It's circulated to members, and then they've read it, but we want you to talk on it so that we ask questions on it. Thank you very much. You can press the yeah. Good.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you for the opportunity. Again, sorry for being late. I try my best, but electronics in the plane didn't work. I think the fact that we are dealing with an increasing number of problems in South African football is a matter of very serious concern. Not so many problems a few years ago, and that's why the concern is growing. I would say there are many factors, Chairperson, that led to this situation. But it's one that for some years I'm trying to convince people that we need to address immediately. South African football operates in two entities at the moment. The model was picked was 7 years ago from the English football. At that time, England was the only country in the world to have two entities, professional league and FA. English people did a lot of work to improve the situation. It was the wrong model, Chairperson, from the beginning, because the only country in the world that opted to go for this type of separations on various aspects of football. We haven't done anything to correct the model. As I'm talking now, English are very close to accept the fact that football can only be run by the Football Association. Now, in all the studies I've done, by the way, proudly I say I completed 25 years football in South Africa, so everywhere you go in the world, top countries, you'll find five pillars of performance success. One is mass participation, which is the key of creating the pool for the talent. Second is development, expertise, competition, and national representation. I didn't find any other model, Chairperson, that differs from this one. I'm talking about the top countries in the world. Now, every pillar has got its own system. For instance, participation. You talk about schools, you talk about amateurs, you talk about all people involved, or those people love the game and trying to play the game. Development. It's a highly sophisticated area today, highly scientific and highly diversified according to culture, from culture to culture. Development is not the same in Europe as it is in Africa. The biosocial profile and the cultural elements, they intervene very strongly in the way players are developed. Expertise. Now, here we have the first clash between the two entities. You have an expertise recognized as SAFA expertise that goes for the amateur and national teams, and you have the other expertise that is PSR. I haven't any model that is succeeding on this type of duality. Expertise cannot be separated. For the sake of continuity, for the sake of unity in concept, etc. Competition. It's frightening to know that we have SAFA competitions and PSL competitions. We need, I think that's an immediate need. We need a national competition committee in which all the competitions are regulated and controlled. We have a situation now that some of the rules in SAFA competitions are not the same with PSL competition. How do you monitor a player developing from SAFA then to professional life if you have two competition committees? National representation, again the clash, again the different interests between the professional clubs and the national teams. Obviously, time is a very, very important factor here. I'm not going to go too deep into the analysis. All these five pillars are interdependent. So if there is any split on organization, control, monitoring, promoting, demoting, etc., that's going to affect the performance of the country. So it is imperative that, and probably we need even a legal intervention, Chairperson, because the PSL constitution at the moment blocks their coaches to be part of a SAFA meeting, for instance. You need a special approval to bring them together. I think it's absolutely unacceptable. We are talking about how to develop players. Now, there must be a unified concept of development that applies both to the PSL clubs as well as to the schools of excellence, youth center, etc. At the moment, we have clubs in South Africa. They are following the pattern of, say, Tottenham. And by the way, the coaching in England is in big trouble. Their coaching courses at the root of the premiership problems. And the study just came in now. Now, if we want our kids to be trained by a Tottenham concept, we're actually going to this level in which their coaching now is becoming highly scrutinized and ready to be changed. The same thing applied to Germany, the same thing applied to Holland. The World Cup, Chairperson, change, you mentioned very, very, very strong point. Change the mentality of the world in football today. Talent becomes the first and the most important tool in developing performance.
She will chair for me, and then you are recorded. If I don't, if I miss you, I'm going to get you in the recording.
No, you take your break. We are listening here about coaches saying, Serame, that we don't have qualified coaches for the under-8. Yes, we don't. Our coaching syllabus is actually a combination of German and Dutch, picked up some years ago and put together in one manual. Let me show you how damaging the situation is. We have the Brazilian coaching introductory course, and we have South African coaching introductory coaching course. In the South African coaching course, it's only one page that deals with the technical aspect of the game, with the ball skills. In a Brazilian coaching manual, we've got 24 pages that are dealing with the key element of technical development of a player. from the beginning, we are going to a losing situation. Our coaches are not empowered, and I agree with Saram. We don't have coaches under 8 to know what to do with this game. Because from the beginning, our coaching manual completely, for I don't know what reason, completely excluded the things on the wrong of the youngster. We got 61 sources of research information to prove that our coaching syllabus is not matching the nature of our players, is not matching the environment, is not matching the culture of this country. And these are independent research. We need to address these problems as soon as possible before another generation is going to be lost. We are talking about the fact that PSL coaches are not keen to come closer to SAFA. One reason, and I've been part of them for many years, they are saying clearly, we cannot learn from something that is so far away from the reality of our football. We need something that should attract them, should make them, should challenge them to develop their skills and experience according to the needs of this country. Three years ago, I wrote an article that said, why the organizational revamp of South African football is inevitable. I got in big trouble because of this one. But now, most of the problems we're discussing today are very, very pertinent to what we put on paper some years ago. On the submission that I made, is a big one, it's about 13 pages. I wouldn't like to waste your time. I just want to go to various points. Number one, I think we should stop creating that false image that we have to follow people in the world. We probably need to follow some solutions that are very good on administration, organization, structure. When it comes to the content of training, coaching, the style of football, South Africa is unique. No one can change it. The culture that produces this type of player needs a system of coaching, training that reflects the nature of this player. Any contradiction will take us backwards. We need to look at quality before performance. It is impossible to reach a level of high performance before you develop high quality players. We have to accept the cycle of development is between 7 to 8 years. You cannot have a player coming at the age of 17 to say we are going to make him a star. The issue of strikers. Strikers cannot be made at the age of 20. Striker is the end product of a long process of development. He starts from the age of 2.5, 3, when genetic activation takes place. Obviously, that's before coaching. We are not talking about programs of development. We are talking about casual football, having fun kicking the ball. The actual development has got two phases, and we have to go ahead of the world. We have to accept that we need a pre-development phase at the preschool institution, then the basic development starting from the age of 6 to 12. I had the privilege to for 2 years to study Barcelona. I went inside the system, also in Italy. At the age of 14, honorable members, players in Spain, they are fully competent technically. They spend 6 hours a week on ball exercises. Exactly what the Brazilian coaching manual says, but it's done in a Spanish way. They don't want to be told that you do like Brazilians, that they know you're doing like Spanish. I think we have to quickly reassess our approach to youth development. We need to look at the schools. If 80%, 87% of the majority of these people follow football, who gives us the right to put football number 3 or 4 in the school? It's unpatriotic. We are letting down the 87% of the majority of these people. That must be proportionally represented in the school system. I'm not talking about certain schools, I'm not all the schools. We like to look at the technical assistance, so-called assistance, coming from the Europeans. Believe it or not, about 60% of their programs now, as we talk now, are going to be changed following the World Cup. The speed, intelligence, and skill factor are going to dominate the coaching syllabus. We need to go ahead of these attempts. We need to be first. And I would like to show you something very interesting. In 1992, we introduced, for the first time in the world, the Chibuk Youth specific football resistance training. That was 1992. In 2004, for the first time, Europeans are launching resistance training for the national teams. So, honorable members, we are 12 years ahead of them. But nobody gave a damn, sorry for the language, about what we've done here. I think it's the right time now, because of the vibe of the World Cup is still with us, because of this wonderful opportunity to move ahead of the rest. We are talking about, as I said, the whole concept of coaching is changing. I'm reading from Australians, physicality is out of fashion. The fact that we are short and thin, it's an advantage, ladies and gentlemen, not a handicap. Because our players, they have a center of weight lower, like Messi, for instance. Their speed, their balance, the timing is better than the tall one. And Spain proved that convincingly. I found it's embarrassing. I found in now all coaching manual, the number one criteria on selection of our boys and girls is height. A country that produces 1.71 average height at the age of 18. These are setbacks. These are things that were not going to help South Africa to move forward. They have to be corrected immediately. We need to look very carefully where do we send our coaches for so-called high-level coaching certification. As I was showing to you, England is considering their system as a failure, total failure. And I read every day in a newspaper that the clubs are sending the coaches to England for qualification. It's frightening. We need to look at the technique factor in our football. If by the age of 13, 14, our boys and girls are not fully competent technically, they may not reach the level of high performance. The level of the age average of the players coming to the top echelons in the world is decreasing very rapidly. There are 650 under 18 players in the world playing in professional football today. I don't know if we have more than 4 or 5. The challenges are very, very let's put it the other way. We need to be brutally realistic. If we don't change things now, other countries will move ahead of us. Asians, already, they changed completely their approach to poaching. They are looking very seriously, Chairperson, China, 6 years ago, was actually a mediocre power in football. Today, they are coming very, very strong. And the latest news, the chairman of the association, the China Football Federation, is sending the best 40 players under 15 with the top 6 youth coaches in the country to Barcelona for 5 years. Not to copy Barcelona's style, but to try to take the methods and the procedures that are more suitable for the Chinese players. We need to look at that with very, very serious concern. Japan, South Korea, North Korea, and China now are becoming very, very strong competitors in the world of football. The main reason is that they are developing their own idea and coaching. We got a letter just arrived from, I'm sure you are aware of or know him, Wayne Goldsmith. He's the top researcher in Australia. He's telling us, if you want to lose again, continue looking at expertise from other countries. He's talking about the technical expertise. The Australian football is again under scrutiny now because of the employment of the Dutch coach. He failed, they said, because he doesn't know the nature of the player. I think we need to look at those examples very, very carefully. We need to look at our physical trainers. Our physical trainers, they have no clue what football is all about. One of them wants to watch Spain in training. He comes back to me and says, I have to quit. I never thought that physical training in football is what these guys are doing. Me, I'm just giving a running. And I think that would be enough. But what I see today, I have to change my qualification. We need to look at the people that are coming on the support system to share the same mentality of football with what Pizzo is talking about. If we have discrepancies between the professional clubs, between the schools of excellence, between the youth systems and the national team, we are going to ruin our chances for the future. The time has come to put our minds together and unify the way we think and the way we operate in football. Pizzo cannot survive if no exceptional talent is coming from the youth development. The way the players are technically and tactically treated in PSL, that is not good news for him. I know because I work in the club and I know what's going on. That system of Pereira, and by the way, it's very sad. My colleagues, that was a foreigner to tell us about our identity. I think that should have been long time ago, Jefferson, discovered by our people. Nevertheless, the mentality is that I'll never play Pereira's football. And I'm talking about from inside PSL. I'm going to play my direct football. I'm going to look for the big animals up front, and I'm going to play long ball. How is that going to help the national team? It's a contradiction. There are enough traditions in this country to establish a culture, a very strong culture of football. We have to go back and revive those traditions. Our boys and girls, they don't have role models. They look at foreigners. They forgot about teenage Vlada and Nielsen Solengue and Aizmi. They have no idea this is unhealthy. We need to talk to SABC to provide shows in which these players, even if it's 20 years ago, show these young boys and girls how football was played at the time when Chairperson might be sarcastic here. There was no modern coaching. One, and I'm going to prove that, one reason they made it so high on the scale of quality is because they were not influenced by foreign coaches. We look at the situation in Brazil now. There is a small evolution, small deviation from their culture, very small one, towards the so-called realistic football, made Brazil lose their chances to win the World Cup, and made Dunga an unwanted player in Brazil, unwanted coach as well. I think we have to learn from this. We got enough traditions, solid traditions in this country to build a culture that is not only of entertaining football, but a very competitive one. To complete my few things, we need SAFA to take a very strong leadership position. Not only in administration, but also on technical matters. The two entity situations cannot be entertained any longer, particularly on the issue of competition, expertise, and participation. We need one controlling body. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ted Suga.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate the presentation by the veteran in sports, in particular soccer, Mr. Ted Mutton. Because you see, these are serious minds that we want to have after a major event, to have a crystal analysis and make a self introspection on our own life of style when it comes to football. And I think you are bringing that to the fore. I'm also very worried if it is said in the manual, only one page speak of the technical coaching in that manual. In other words, I'm not sure whether our governing body in South Africa does learn from other countries the best practice and domesticate that to our own situation. Well, surely at that level, we would have to have a kind of outreach program so that to learn the best practice, but also not live in the old culture in as far as football is concerned. I know in Brazil they talk of samba. They said they did not play the samba football. That's why they were sounds here. Their philosophy, our own philosophy. I think that's what we are speaking about. The paper that we are talking about is, relates to our own philosophy, the soul searching identity of our football. The other thing, Chairperson, I just want to check, when last has this document, this manual, reviewed? Because whenever you speak, you refer to many years ago, and but you fall short to say there has been a review on this document. We are here now because you point out the critical areas that needs to be looked into, and you compare that with other countries. I'm saying, Chair, I've not yet get that grasp, but this document has been, the architect was quite good and intentional. But surely with time, it seems to me it has not picked up. That's my... Then the last issue, Chair, maybe both, is the question of the tracking of our both good coaches during that time. The database, in fact, of our football, it seems to me, it needs also to be re-looked, both in terms of the players, the yesterday players, the current players, looking into the future. We don't have that. So that if head coach is having a program to develop soccer over a period of 3-4 years, is there a system to track that all our strikers, who were heroes of the moment, will not fade along the way by 2014, equally with the under. Those girls that were very good, they were always there. Your rivals, Nigeria versus South Africa, they were good girls when they were introduced by Ukala. But I'm not sure whether are we still having those and what used, where are they now, those who started and were playing very good. So I'm saying the question of the database comes into play here, so that if you want to have a good product. Otherwise, Chairperson, I'm very much pleased because it's a provoking document, arouse our consciousness around issues to improve for the better. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. I must thank also the veteran for the work which is done. We've seen for Kegana.
I just want to check with our leader in SAPA present. Is there somebody in SAPA who will be sitting and looking and analyzing the what has transpired in the World Cup? If that has not been done, I'll request them to do it. You know, to sit down and compare this document with their own findings. To me, that will take us forward so that we build on this work. It's now the time to assist Pito from now on, so that his work, we don't identify the things that 2 years before the World Cup. The time is now right for us to do all this. Get this thing from SAPA, compare these notes, and look how do we take this thing forward, all of us. Thank
you. Chief, is there anything that you wanted to say something on it and then give clarity?
Yeah. No, thanks. Thanks from the Cora. I think you're raising a very, very good point. What actually has happened,
Let me just do this and just make a little bit of a mistake. I want you to conclude as a person who's going to give us a direction on this. Piso, is there anything that you want to put on what Ted has just presented?
Chairperson, I think there's a lot of input from the guru here. I think my opinion, I think maybe you've just said it as well, or maybe Gora said it indirectly, that through the technical director, maybe it's our time we sit down and check a few things and come up with what we think is right, because we don't just want to comment quickly. We should just see it and analyze it, and I always honor and appreciate the coach's input.
Okay. Ray?
Thank you very much, Chair. I don't know what happened to my voice now.
Gone.
Okay. it's a very thought-provoking document. Maybe when we talk about first the manuals, that is an area where I'm working with the manager of coach education. We are making a lot of changes in our manuals at the moment because we are fully aware of, I wouldn't say it is outdated because it is still relevant information to football. But we are aligning now our manuals in line with what CAF is doing at the moment. There's going to be a licensing system that is going to be put in place by CAF. we will not have in future a situation where somebody does not hold a CAF qualification, he sits on the bench when he does not have a license. Already we have had the first course with CAF where we have trained our instructors so that they are able to start training the people in the country in terms of that which is required. So, we are making big strides in changing our manuals. We are aware that a lot of information is not relevant to what we want it to be. In terms of the database of our players, I'm sure of our coaches, I'm sure the database of the qualified coaches, all the qualified coaches we do have in the country, we know how many coaches we have in the intro, we know how many coaches in the level 1 and level 2. The database of the legends as a member association will be kept by the members of the legends, where the president, Mr. Nonkunyana, is making a big interaction with. I agree with him fully that we need to have a competition committee, because there's just too many tournaments that are happening in the country. Anybody who's got a little bit of money puts up a tournament. We have had so many tournaments, and these tournaments are not really helping the national teams because they do not attach it to different age groups that help us in the national teams. Somebody will just put a competition and it does not help us in any way. And we say there are sponsors who are developing football without actually interacting with the relevant people so that the competition can help us. We have a big challenge in the country of players cheating, age cheating in the country. Now, if we have this competition committee, through this competition committee, we will make sure that each and every age group is covered in terms of tournament. Because a child will play in your under 17, like the franchise in the association. We have under 17, and then we have under 20. This is where we compete in Africa and the world, and under 17 and under 20. What happens to an 18-year-old boy? What happens to an under 19-year-old boy? He hasn't got a tournament where he is playing. So if we create an environment where we have a tournament for every age group, a child will know that if I graduate from the under 17, I know that I will graduate to the under 18, I will graduate to the under 19 until I become a property of the under 20. So there will be synergy. So I agree with you fully that we need to have a competitions committee that will definitely look into this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Makalaka. Switch yours off. Yes, Steve.
Honorable Chairman, I think in the document, Mr. Dumitru, there's a lot of valid points. And one can also not ignore the fact that the trends in modern football have started pointing towards Africa. But the only challenge would be we are aware of it. What interventions can we come up with? And every tournament comes up with a technical report, and a lot of experts do the analysis. But after such analysis, do we take that information and reshape our game? And in 2014, the World Cup will be played differently, because everybody has mastered counter-attack game for 2010. But the challenges for 2014 then are slightly going to be different. So in the document, I think what is contained and entailed should be taken down. Maybe a need for a workshop, a symposium, so as to disseminate this information and help our players acquaint themselves and be in line with modern realities.
Yeah. Ted, quickly, before I give to...
Yes, clarification about the...
Press the...
Yeah, okay. clarification about the intentions of the confederations to, I would say, to unify the coaching mentality in the respective confederations. We have to be very careful here, Chairperson, because the idea of installing basic standards shouldn't interfere with the national culture of coaching. For instance, if you go to Spain now, you are not going to see UEFA license content. Very little. It's only about the basics. Their concept of coaching is independent, culturally independent, from what UEFA is preaching. Yes, they accept, you know, if you want to be recognized as a basic coach, so to speak, then you go for the UEFA licensing. But if you want to coach Barcelona, you have to go to their school of coaching. So I think CAF is doing well, trying to install some standards, basic standards. But that shouldn't prevent us from moving ahead and putting objectives that are ahead of or what the content of coaching provided by CAF is all about. There are far more new developments in coaching to restrict them to, I would say, universalized coaching concepts. That actually will hold us back.
No, you see, Ted, I don't think we'll be comfortable as a government that when you play Kaizer Chiefs, you have certain standards that are put for Kaizer Chiefs, and therefore which will not necessarily enable you to go and coach the national team. Because if the basics, they give basics, but when you go and coach Barcelona, then you have to go to them for you to be able to be lifted to the level of Barcelona or the disadvantage of others. That's what we are saying. We're saying, no, can't be correct. The national qualification framework, say, if you are at level 3 in South Africa, technically and otherwise, this is the path that we have gone through up there. Yes, the flair and other things that you put there and motivation and all these other things would be a separate a pack of things, but I wouldn't like to see anybody saying, for me to be able to be up is for me to coach Pirates or Sundowns. And then because the director for coaching, Serame, has a basic, and therefore for me to go and coach Pirates, I must go to Sundowns and up the standards and then and go to that team. No, I don't think that's what we're saying. We're saying there should be a national standard, and that standard is measured in both ourselves and those people that are coming from outside, so that you must be clear, if anybody coaches the team in the PSL, then you must know that it is correct. And now, there is one gentleman that I like very much, who's coaching one of the PSL teams. He's got level one. And then there are many of those that Serame has spoken about who have level 3. But it's coaching a team in the PSL now. And where are the standards there? Can you leave other people who have level 3, which is a top professional in our country, and go to somebody who's just in the entry at level 1? No, it can't be like that. That's what you're talking about. But all the same, thank you very much, Chief Ngoba Leidat.
Chair, I think first of all, thank you really for this opportunity, and Chairman, thank you all the colleagues here for their professional input, and for being frank about this. I think it is all in the interest of development of our game, and I think we are all sharing a vision that South Africa should take its rightful position among the football nations of the world. And having said that, also I think I'm excited by what Ted is saying about let us not lose what is belonging to ours as Africans and South Africans in particular. Yes, we borrow from the other cultures, the football nations. days when I was still very young, when I was saying, hey, na kuto medala ko pele, you know. But South African coaches, foreign coaches came and then introduced this type of football. I think we need in our transformation agenda also consider what I'm trying to say, what resources are needed to you. I only hope then that that piece of paper will be shared, and I will definitely make sure that it is submitted to our technical committee. So I think it will be able to really improve our techniques in this regard. And then coming to Comrade Cora's point of was there any thing that we did as regards to FIFA World Cup 2010 general studying? Yes. In fact, what actually happened is that we formed another, what you call, study group, FIFA World Cup study group. And we earmarked the three wise men. I think you know those. what you regarded as many people that are the wise men. And it helped with Thomas Sono, Clive Barker, and of course, the other gentleman who's coaching, Gavin Hunt, earmarked more than above, of course, the other technical study group that the national team itself had established, with a view that they can also study what was actually happening and give us an input. We're waiting for their report. But so far as Thomason is concerned, you know, he was taken the study group of FIFA. So it was not up to him, therefore, in that sense. But I'm sure he will be able to share, knowing him as I think I do, he will be able to share with us also his findings. And I think more than above that, of course, Coca-Cola is that the general team has submitted a comprehensive report to us. And that comprehensive report is being analyzed by the General Committee, all with a view to take South African football to the new and greater height. Of course, they have gained experience in this World Cup. Then lastly, Chair, I must say thank you to you for having invited us, and thank you to the honorable members, all of them, for valuable input. As I indicated, I'm going to share whatever you have said today, especially with the Joint Management Committee meeting tomorrow in Johannesburg. And this weekend, there's also our old Hotla, and no doubt we'll be able to share these things and with you then that really well could make you proud. As a representative of our people in this country, we don't want to fail you, and we want you, this country to be amongst the best in the world. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you, Chief Nguyen. Chief, all the inputs that have been made today are inputs that you know they have a serious bearing on the Sports Act, because we have thought that we have done clear tight up on that Sports Act, but clearly we've missed a very important element in not getting a submission from the coaching around the ideal situation on sports in this country. I think we never called them Cora. That's why you can see there's a big one. We've called everybody and then do quite a big interaction. But the issues of the norms and standards, the uniformity that you're talking about, Ted, it's what Peter's talking about. You say you must not have a doubt when a boy is in the under 17 and under 20 and under 23, you must be able to take him and fit him in the style, in the flair, in everything. You must not struggle for you to go and work on some other elements in that ball. and then because you shall have put the same standard in all the levels of the national team from the under 17. And that is what we have not. The question of the qualifications of the coaches that are coming into the country, it is something that we have not put it in the act today. But in any other piece of legislation of this country, you are required for you to come and practice as a lawyer in this country to be equal to Nongonya. We have to check you whether your qualification equals to our own qualification. So we have not done that. So those are very enriching inputs that we have put in place, we have put to us, and then that are going to make us to be able to work very clear on what the amendment is going to be, because I know that there is that kind of an amendment. But we want to thank you very much, Tetsi. As soon as we receive that document, we've invited quite a few of you, our coaches, so that we must talk to you, and then you tell us there are very profound policy positions that Sir Rame spoke about that we have to do so that they must be able to bring harmony in sport. And he's not saying those things on behalf of himself. He's saying those things on behalf of the South African Football Association. And the South African Football Association has to assist us also. But it must be the mother body of football in the country. The mother body of football in the country. And then if other people are calling themselves the Alpha and Omega, the buck stops with the South African Football Association. Because there could never be all football in the country if they don't play a role in sanctioning that. So they must act as such, Chief Nongonya. But you have our support, one thing that we can tell you, and then work. But we are very grateful that at any time, Chief Nongonya, when we ask you to come to us for clarity on issues that are topical in the country, you are always there. Tell Kirsten Matandam, he called in the morning, and then we appreciated that. But thanks very much for all of you, the input that we've made, and then I think they've made me again to be a better coach today. So thank you very much. Those who have not got any other thing to be better coaches, and then the rugby coaches, unfortunately, I'm not one of the rugby coaches, I'm the football coach. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting stands to adjourn.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Okay.